much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, folks. Welcome to our show. If I had known it was Casual Wednesday, I'd have left my jacket backstage.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So Godhead, it's not even funny. This is beyond amazing.
Shut up, Ryan Seacrest.
I want to throw up just thinking about it. I want to throw up just thinking about it.
And now.
Did you know when he was born, they thought he was a girl? For 2 whole months, because they couldn't find his wee-wee. It's called micropenis.
Shut the hell up, you old lady! With your white hair and your walking problem!
Our feature presentation.
Hey, morning, everybody. What's happening?
What?
Who are you?
What?
You can't just crash a show. You can't just walk into somebody else's show and take over.
Here's all I know. The dude discovered Wing the exact same way I did.
Yes.
Contacted her and did a couple of duets with her.
He's better than you.
What
He's
did I
than
do? You. Nothing.
Bought her albums.
Wow.
Yeah. You could have had a relationship with Wing like Rappy McRapperson does.
I heard that on the way in. Stop the nonsense. And I was just like, oh, my God, am I a loser.
Is it one of the best songs you've ever heard in your life, by the way?
It may be the. Because you really can't understand exactly what she's talking about. And if it wasn't in the parentheses, no one would know what it was about. She's just the best.
She's just getting better, too.
But how did it not occur to me to contact her and say, we need to duet?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, because
you don't have vision.
Rappy, you know, Rappy is a musician anyway. I think that's why it was more likely in the front of his mind is that, you know, well, as an artist, he's looking for somebody to
come. To be an artist, you have to be a musician to work with her?
Apparently, yeah.
You kidding? With Wing?
Well,
I'm just disappointed in myself. I do, too, but I'm disappointed in myself for not.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing.
We're going to take your telephone calls, by the way, in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. We have plenty of lines open if you want to get in, get on the air, get a prize. Now, Kevin, are you just late for Monday's show, or do you actually take a couple days off?
I think I'm going to just go Wednesday to Friday from now on.
It's a pretty good schedule, right?
I really kind of like it, yeah. Yeah, because today feels like Monday to me. And Friday's going to be here like that.
Yeah, that's
And you're going to go, wow, quick week.
So I think that's my plan, if you guys don't
All right. mind. I know somebody may call on this, but I have to ask because it's all that was on the TV last night. It's all anybody was talking about. Was last night LeBron James's last game ever in Cleveland?
Except as a
visiting member of the New York Knicks.
I didn't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, tell Did me, they get what knocked happened?
Out? And, no, they didn't get knocked out. They're down 3-2. LeBron only had 15 points last night, was 3-for-14 from the field.
Right.
And if you'd have seen the look on his face, Kevin, you'd have thought that he was throwing the game. You've never seen a guy less engaged playing basketball than LeBron James last night. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't. But
Unless he's really hurt and they don't want to let that be known because he has had that elbow problem.
Yeah, he's got an elbow problem. But
right. I mean, look, anybody can have a bad game. But usually, even when Kobe's not hitting them, at least he looks like he's trying.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You can play
it's just
defense,
not happening.
You can pass. You can do a lot of the things.
Well, I don't know what was going on. Did you see it, Psycho Mike? Do you know what I'm talking about? The look on his face?
I did. And here's the thing. Bean hit it right on the nose. There's games where Michael Jordan did not play well. There was games where Kobe's not played. We've seen Kobe not play well. And I don't recall him ever shrinking, though, as in proportion of a great, great player.
Right. You know they try to step up in other ways.
It's just a guy that's missing shots and not on.
Right.
LeBron looked as if he just cowered in a way that you don't see from
a massive
superstar.
Like if his – not that this happened, but if his mother had died or something, is it like
it was
maybe
that kind
some
of thing.
Sort of personal thing maybe that we have no idea?
Right.
That's possible.
You're looking at – physically, you're looking at the same person, but you could tell they were not the same. You know, yeah. There
completely
internally.
Checked out.
Wow.
Guess how much the Cavaliers lost to the Boston Celtics, the aged and creaky team that didn't deserve to be in round two of the playoffs. Kevin, guess how much they lost to the Celtics by?
I hate Boston so much. Don't tell me.
32.
Wow!
Oh, no kidding.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and now it goes back to Boston. So
wow.
I mean, I don't know what the heck's going on. But
at least,
man,
they have Shaq. They got that to go to.
Hey, Shaq was okay. Thank God they had Shaq. They lost by 40 last night.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
But the NBA playoffs have been very exciting this year. I will tell you that. There's been a lot of great storylines. But I'm not pleased. Look, even though most people listening would like to see the Lakers repeat as champions, most people are also LeBron James fans and enjoy watching him play great basketball.
You don't want to see him just throw it.
Here's the funny thing about last night's game, too. 1 week ago, if you were to take calls all day, people would say, oh, Boston's old, man. They're over the hill. They don't got it anymore. They're creaky.
They don't have a chance.
They're beat up. Now Boston's experienced, and they're deep. Yeah. You know, that's a sports fan for you.
That's how it makes a difference.
Anyway, good times. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do, Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
It's like trying to see the Loch Ness Monster in person, but they claim it's real. We're talking about a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. That's what you get at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with J.D. J.D. is on line 3. He gets us going on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. Hey, J.D., what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Well, last night I'm watching G4 Network, that hack of the show.
Sure.
Olivia Munn.
As you should.
Must have said
Olivia Munn.
Psycho Mike's name about 15 to 20 times.
Olivia Munn said Psycho Mike's name?
Yes.
In what context?
Dr. Drew was on.
Oh, okay.
And they're talking about Loveline.
I got
you. And it was like a kid with Tourette syndrome.
Right.
It was kind of scary.
All right.
I think Psycho Mike, and I was watching last night as well, and Olivia Munn, by the way, really, it's getting hotter by the day. I don't know how she's doing it, but she's so hot now. I think Psycho Mike owes it to us to hit that and tell us about it.
Yeah. Exactly. She's number 8 on the Maxim list. I mean,
I know.
On. Yeah, listen.
So,
Mike?
Yeah.
You need to, like,
take one for the team, man.
Is that what I got to do?
Yeah. I don't know how you'll grit your teeth and get through it, but you can.
I'm going to do it, and it's not only for you two. It's for JD as well.
All right.
Oh, that's nice of you.
You do it for all the rest of us that can't. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'd love to see a list of the shows that Dr. Drew is on every week, because it's almost impossible to find one that he's not on.
Not enough paper.
I'd like to find a list of patients that he has, because I'm thinking it's 0. There's no possible way he can still be a doctor and be on every TV show that exists.
You know, the show he's not on a lot is Loveline.
Well, there's that.
It's on all the other shows.
Yeah. Good point, Lisa.
Imagine if Dr. Drew were your doctor and you had put in a call with a question about your medication and you were sitting by the phone waiting for him to call back. And while you're waiting, you're channel surfing.
Right.
You'd get madder every single time you got to a new channel that Dr. Drew was on. You'd be like, hey, how does he have time for basic cable? He doesn't have time to call me back.
Yeah.
Good point.
let's try Amy. Amy's on line 1. Kevin, we had a conversation yesterday about this new – well, it's not new. It was this weekend, though, the Tiffany Universe pageant, which is for transgenders. This is for CWDs, if you get my meaning.
Sure.
And you have to go to kevinandbean.com and look at this video, this beauty pageant, because these are some of the hottest chicks you'll see all year, and they're all dudes. So we had people calling in yesterday talking about their experience with the crying game Bad Surprise.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Amy's coming from here today. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Good. Did your name used to be Andy?
No, my name is my name has always been Amy.
Okay. All right.
All right. What happened?
Well, I went to Thailand on vacation for 2 weeks, and we went to an island called Phuket.
Yep.
And there's a little street where it's got really good nightlife, and the ladyboys are out there dancing on tables and stuff. And they're really pretty.
Yeah.
I tried yesterday, Kevin, to get Lisa to start feeling bad about herself as a natural-born woman compared to what the ladyboys look like.
Wow.
It never crossed my mind that I should actually feel sad that I'm not as pretty as a ladyboy, but once Bean suggested it, the idea took hold.
You shouldn't feel bad. It's fine. You're good.
And, you know, they're shy about pulling down their dress and showing you their goods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Bean, did you tell him when we were in San Francisco? Do you remember that?
I didn't. But that guy, I mean, that guy was a lumberjack compared to these girls that we're talking about, though.
No.
Yeah,
we were driving around San Francisco. I saw a super hot chick, and Bean said, look again.
Yeah.
And I said, no, she's hot. And we drove around the block and came back. He goes, dude. I was like, no way. So that's what this is, apparently?
They're gorgeous.
Times 100.
Yeah,
exactly.
they're thin and they're petite and they're really feminine.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
They're feminine until you unclothe them, and then less feminine.
Great stories yesterday because, you know, Thailand, part of the reason Thailand is a popular destination And this isn't the reason that I desperately want to go there, is that there's lots of cheap and available sex. I mean, these guys were calling in yesterday who were buying late, you know, what they thought were women at the time.
Right.
For, you know, what was it, Lisa? It was like $15 or something.
Yeah,
you get a lady,
$15
right?
To $30.
$10?
Yeah.
Tucky.
Or $10.
And then they turned out to be a dude, and then you feel like maybe it wasn't as good an investment. But that's why there were so many people at stories yesterday. A lot of people go to Thailand because that's part of the vacation experience.
I'm sure you asked the necessary follow-up question was, once you found out, did you finish?
Oh, yeah. We discussed
they
that.
What
percentage?
No.
Oh, they all said
they
no.
All said
so they lied and they did.
Right. Psycho Mike was the only one man enough to say, look, if I've already paid and I'm already hot, I'm just going to go through with it no matter what's going on downstairs.
Psycho Mike is hoping for that.
but Ralph had my back, too, if I recall. He was using the same.
I think Ralph did, yeah. I said, and I think Kevin's with me on this, is that I am willing to forgive a lot of irregularities in a woman's body,
right.
But I draw the line at a penis.
Yeah. I think
that's where I'm
you
at.
You are fussy.
But
that doesn't seem very fussy.
If those men boys, or those lady boys, walked in looking the way they did in that pageant, you're
right.
Telling me you could turn that down?
Yes.
Yes, knowing that they were men, yeah.
Right. No, you'll never get a woman as hot,
maybe,
by the way.
Maybe we wouldn't be able to turn them down, but until the point of unveiling, at that point, you run.
You're out.
Or close your eyes.
No. No.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, because it actually is a huge program today. First of all, how about your old friend Johnny Knoxville coming back on the show?
Oh, I'm very excited about that. Love him.
He, of course, is one of the brains behind the Dudesons, who we had in last week, who are just fascinating and really entertaining guys. So we'll be talking about that with Johnny.
Desperately to kill themselves.
They are, yes.
Absolutely. And by the way, wasn't there supposed to be, didn't we hear that there was going to be a Jackass 3D? Wasn't that being made
at some point? They're making it now.
Damn near done filming.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get an update on that, because it seems like it's been entirely too long since there's been a Jackass movie, I'll tell you that. Our favorite Kevin and Bean listener, Dewan, is in the dating pool. He is putting it out there that he is looking for a fine white Christian woman in the San Pedro, California area. And we had him come in yesterday and put a video together for the sites, you know, for eHarmony and places like that, so we can expand his reach a little bit and try to find him a lady. And I understand that you watched this and he's pretty captivating.
Oh, my God. I was going to edit it to try and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched it and I just thought, there's nothing I could. This is a masterpiece.
It's gold.
Yeah, you don't touch that. It's so fantastic because King of Mexico can't get him to look at the camera. And Mike asks him question after question, which he somehow gets the answers wrong every time. It's magic.
And he's a natural.
I watched it and I was just like, no way am I touching this. This is perfect. If this doesn't get him laid, nothing will. And I'm going with nothing will.
Also, a recap of what's turning into a, if it's real, and I doubt anything on the hills is real, but it looks like a very scary situation developing with our friend Spencer Pratt, who I think has really lost his mind. He's gone beyond anger management to the point where he's turning into the Hulk.
Well, I think he's losing the attention. I think once you start losing the attention, you got to step it up.
Well,
yeah,
but I wonder if losing the attention really doesn't push him over the
edge.
I don't know. I don't know.
I hope it pushes him as far over the edge as possible.
Yeah.
Like to see that happen.
Are you ready for Will You Embrace the Return of Limp Bizkit? Because they are back, ladies and gentlemen. Are there any circumstances under which you could buy a Limp Bizkit record at this point? Go to a Limp Bizkit show, enjoy Limp Bizkit on your radio.
That's a rhetorical question, right?
No, they're back. They're mounting a big tour.
I know, but the answer is contained in the question, which is no, of course not.
There are a lot of people who are down with it.
Nope.
You know, they were just on the Tonight Show this week, for instance. They got a big tour. They're going out with Ice Cube for the summer. So apparently they think they're back. Are you in?
Wow.
We'll talk about that with one of their most diehard supporters on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And how about Ricky Gervais, ladies and gentlemen, on the program? Come on with that.
I'm so excited about that.
No, I don't know that I have any questions for him other than why are you so awesome. But we love Ricky, and he's going to be on the program
today. That'll carry it. Don't worry. Why are you so awesome will carry
it. And then he goes.
I did. I saw him when he came last time, and I'm going Sunday when he comes this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife is in love with him. Yeah, do a stand-up. So I've got I have some questions that he may or may not be able to answer according to FCC regulations.
Oh.
Okay.
About his act. But
and finally, it's great that you're back today, Kevin, because we're going to have our annual battle with the editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine. They came out with their new Hot 100 list. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it yesterday.
I didn't, but you know my theory on this is if they don't put some hinky girls in the top 10, there's no discussion. Right. So they throw some in and you go, what? No, no. And then you talk about it.
Well, I'm just going to tell you two things before we break. One is that Christina Aguilera is hotter than Olivia Wilde.
Okay.
And another is that Kesha is hotter than Alessandra Ambrosio. That's what I'm talking about.
He doesn't say that, though.
So we'll talk to him coming up next hour. Ralph's got an all-new Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Beach. Ralph, Kevin, Ralph, Kevin, Lisa, Kevin, Mike, Kevin, Kevin,
Lisa,
Mike.
Lisa's here.
And the classroom.
Time for the first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Ralph is here. Are you wearing tie-dye? What do you have on there, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm wearing tie-dye.
It looks crazy.
Because it's 1967, and
I'm saying it looks
in the doors.
Crazy colorful for you, that's all. It's not
it is crazy
you would
colorful
normally
for
wear.
Him.
Bright orange and black.
It's a hockey jersey, Bean.
A reason for that.
Not quite tie-dye.
Well, I'm looking at you from a distance. I'm sorry.
Go Flyers.
All right.
Go Flyers.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
What's the series?
It's 3-2. Game 6 in Philadelphia tonight at the Wachovia Center. Come on. Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do want to give a shout out to my new best friend, Richard Smith of Carlisle, England. Richard was bored with having such a plain name as Richard Smith, and so he has legally changed his name to Stormhammer Deathclaw Firebrand.
Nice.
Yeah!
Wish I had that.
So to my buddy Stormhammer Firebrand, I just want to give him a shout out and say, we're all with you, Stormhammer. Stormhammer wasn't good enough for him. That is his name. First name Storm, last name Hammer. He had to go with Stormhammer Deathclaw Firebrand.
That is pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. Deathclaw.
It's the best.
Well, I want to say goodbye, and it's been nice living here in these United States of ours, but it's time for me to go.
Uh-oh, what's running you out?
Tyra Banks is now an author. She has written a book that will be published here in the U.S. quite soon, and everyone will get a chance to read her new book, Model Land, which is a piece of fiction about a gorgeous model. I love these books.
Happens to be black.
Oh, who's the broad? Who's the broad from the hills who wrote a book?
Lauren Conrad.
A book about, she's a reality TV star. It's fiction. Yeah. Tyra says, it's for everyone that craves some fantasy in their lives. Oh, I've got a fantasy. It involves you being hit in the back of the head with a snow shovel.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
Song's like It's a Small World.
It is.
I can't get it out of my head after we
You'll be singing it all day.
Exactly. I should have sympathy for Tyra because, after all, she does have rabies. I don't know if you saw that on show or not. But,
oh, my God.
You guys watching her daytime show again, or is this rabies. That
no,
model?
This is a clip that
we clip.
Have.
Oh, clip.
Yeah. Do we have the clip by any chance? I know it's throwing you.
It was on the curve internet here, roundup last time we did it. I don't think he'd be able to find it because I think they're all.
I just don't know which clip it is.
I don't mean to call an audible, but...
We'll do it later.
For those who didn't hear, it's Tyra claiming that she was bitten by a dog that had rabies.
Right.
And then that she got rabies from it.
Right.
And she starts to foam at the mouth and bark.
And crawl around on her hands and knees.
And crawl around on all fours.
And bark at the audience.
Growling at her audience. But it was all prank day, so it wasn't real.
Oh, that's such good news because I was worried.
I was too. I was worried that people with rabies turned into dogs.
Wow.
So it was just prank day on the Tyra.
Make it sound a little less.
Sorry.
It's all right. Good shot.
How was
it? Good chance.
He queued it up. He pointed to it.
And we got it. We're good.
He elbowed me and he said, that's it.
This is something else now.
Play it.
Mike, there was a reason why I suggested let's just do it later. Ralph will be back, you know.
Oh, yeah? You don't know management. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, speaking of whores. You know, she made a big stink about hurting Erin Andrews' feelings, the ESPN reporters on Dancing with the Stars, by saying her outfits were too revealing.
Yes. Right.
And that her stalker should just have waited a while. He could have seen everything he wanted to see on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
So Elizabeth Hasselbeck went on The View and started crying, saying she taught her daughter not to hurt people's feelings, and she hurt someone. And my daughter said, Mommy, just call her and make it right. And I did, and I want to give words that lift up, not break down. And she bawled like a baby.
Yeah.
Well, Erin Andrews said in an interview this week that she never got an apology from Elizabeth Hasselbeck, never got a phone call, never heard from her. The only time she heard about it was on that TV show. So she's never contacted me, never apologized.
I love it.
So.
Interesting.
Maybe Elizabeth's daughter needs to sit her down and have another talk with her.
Because she say call. Call
her. She hasn't learned her lesson.
You mean on the phone?
Yeah, on the phone.
Got to make that clear.
And speaking of interesting ways to try to relate to people, this is kind of sad. Courtney Love is desperate to get back in touch with her 17-year-old daughter, Frances Bean, of course, that she had with legendary Kurt Cobain. Frances has been under the care of her grandmother, Kurt's mom, and aunt since December when they slapped Courtney with a restraining order and is no longer involved in Frances' life. So Courtney can't get in touch with her, so she's just been throwing tweets out into the Twitterverse.
That's what parents do.
Trying to contact her daughter. With saying things like, I miss you so much, I love you so much, we need each other. And she keeps tweeting it, and Frances has yet to tweet back.
Oh, dude, lame.
Maybe the saddest tweet I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Couldn't she mail her a letter or a telegram or something?
No.
Do you have to put it out there for everyone who's following you to read about your dysfunctional relationship with your child?
Do you get the idea?
What?
Don't you get that it doesn't exist if it's not publicly done?
Yeah, that she wanted it to be that public so everybody could see her pain, that kind of thing.
That's even sadder.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that.
No, of course not.
Because she's playing our show.
Not with Weenie Rose right around the corner. I don't think that.
I'm just saying.
Let's see what happens on June 6th.
Maybe
Let's see
some
what
other
you
people.
Think then. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say.
Some other people.
We'll revisit this conversation then.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gabriel Byrne, very talented Irish actor. He is 60 years old today. Ving Rhames. Oh, he's big. Oh, he's a big boy. He's 51 years old. Emilio Estevez is 48 years old. Vanessa Williams from Ugly Betty is 47. Stephen Baldwin, who I believe is the ugliest of all the Baldwins.
Is he Ugly Baldwin?
I think he's Ugly Baldwin.
Right? I think so. I think
Barney Rubble Baldwin. He's 44 years old. Tony Hawk is 42. Actress Kim Fields, better known as Tootie from The Facts of Life.
Sure.
She's 41 years old today. Malin Ackerman. She's 32 years old. Jason Biggs, our buddy from American Pie, is 32. Malcolm David Kelly, who played Little Walt on Lost, who's now 8 feet tall.
He was a little kid to talk backwards when he was all wet.
Mm-hmm.
And dead.
And dead.
But then he wasn't dead.
Then he wasn't, right?
He's 18 years old today. Did you see Lost last night, by the way?
I didn't know.
Wow.
Taped it. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Good, wow, bad.
Wow. Big chunk of answers thrown at you all at once.
All right.
Basically what the island is, the history of the island, where it came from.
Wow, all right.
And why Jacob is there and what the smoke monster is and all that stuff.
That's huge.
It is.
And the best part? The best part?
Only two left.
It was great last night. I was just in so many gaps.
I was just going to ask Bean if he liked it, and if the answer is no, then I am in.
It was interesting, though, because it was one of those episodes, like the Richard episode, with no members of the original cast in it. It was just Jacob. And Allison Janney was playing the mother of Jacob and Mr. Black, the smoke monster. It showed you the origin of their relationship and how they interacted with each other and what the secret of the island is, basically.
I like it.
It's fascinating. Sort of biblical and epic, and I enjoyed it enormously. Bean, however, I get the sense.
It was fine. It was fine. Like I said, glad there's two left.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The story of the little Dutch boy, a 10-year-old from the Netherlands traveling with some 60 fellow country people, is the sole survivor of a plane crash in Libya.
The head of the European Parliament says that he's been told about 100 people were killed.
The plane may have had trouble trying to land at Tripoli. Boycotting Arizona, the LA City Council thinks about what it can do to limit official travel and investment and contracts in a state that's passed what some say is an oppressive immigration law. The San Diego schools are doing the same thing. Meanwhile, in Arizona, the governor signed a law that limits an ethnic studies program in Tucson schools. Some say teaches resentment against white folks. They're trying the top hat, another effort to cap the BP well blowout in the Gulf. They're trying to patch up U.S.-Afghan relations. As President Karzai visits President Obama today.
The ultimate goal, a stable Afghanistan, one in which their own forces can be in charge of security.
Sunny, 70 to 80 later. 55 at K-Rock, I'm Doc on the Rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday in the final season of The Hills. I'm so glad that show's going away. I'm so glad we'll be saying goodbye to those people.
You know what's funny is that you have the option to not watch it.
You're the only one who is still watching.
Not really true, kid. Not really true.
Spencer, hi.
Oh, no. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Spencer Pratt has joined us in the studio. Hey, Spencer.
How about a little introduction for Spencer Pratt?
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. Wow. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
None of that is true, by the way, Spencer.
What?
None of it.
0% of it.
We don't have much time, but here's the thing with Spencer. He realizes that the first of all, he's barely on this season of The Hills because of his bad behavior.
I'm too busy.
Practically was fired from the show, so there really very little Spencer on the show this year. But when you are on Spencer,
yeah,
you're melting down. You've got this anger management issue where you hate, like, you have no relationship with anyone in your family, with anyone in Heidi's family. You're screaming all the time. You're miserable all the time. What's going on with you?
People are pushing me to the limit. It has nothing to do with me falling apart.
Is it people not paying attention to you that are pushing you to limit?
No, it's not that enough. I gotta come and film this stupid show that I'm over. I'm busy. I'm Tiger Woods' new swing coach.
You're not.
What?
No, you're not.
Jay Leno's denim doctor.
No, that's not true either. All right,
I invented the daiquiri.
No, you didn't.
And then they bring me in. They wrote me in, and they have to come in and film this show. And it's like, I'm busy, okay?
The only reason anybody knows who you are.
I'm sorry?
I'm Elena Kagan's bikini waxer.
She's never had a bikini waxer.
No,
you'd be surprised, Lisa.
I'm terrified of what sort of those
very well coiffed lady garden.
You're not doing a very good job.
That surprised me.
Now I know you're lying.
All right, let me play some tape from this past week's show, because this is you with your stoner friend Charlie, by the way, who it's got to be scary to you that Charlie's making so much more sense than you are. But you plop down in his house and you are fuming. You look like you're coming out of your skin. You're so uncomfortable. You're so unhappy. You just want to scream, and Charlie tries to calm you down.
Talk to me, bro. I know last night sucked. You had to deal with a whole bunch of you need to just forget about that for a minute today, because it's really affecting you. You want to see? You want to hold something powerful? Sure. I'll hold that right there. That is a seagull feather from the Pacific Palisades.
What?
This is bird flu status.
Why are you carrying feathers around with you, Spencer?
Because through the power of those feathers.
Right.
And through the power of my crystals, I've been able to harness myself and center myself.
Okay.
Why are you pointing fingers?
You don't seem
at
to
me.
Be centered.
Okay? You've got me all confused.
All right.
You know? Don't blame it on Spence Dog. Blame it on the Bossa Nova. You think I'm Fernando. I'm the dancing queen, Linda. That's what it's all about.
Lisa.
Okay? And the crystals are very important to me as a person.
Let's talk about the crystals. What are they? And how do they help you?
They're crystals.
Right. And how do they help you?
And they help me.
How do they help you?
Because of crystal light, and crystal gale. And the crystal skull.
I don't think any of that.
What is a drink? What is a singer? Crystal. And what has something to do with Indiana Jones? None of them
crystal
have to do with
clear,
the crystals.
Have no
you
fear.
Bought to wear around. Okay. So you do explain the crystals to Charlie here coming up.
So Bald Eagle, what did they... come on, man. It's your snake oil salesman.
Oh, my God.
It's your life. It's you and your wife. It's you two against the world. I get it. I never had females in my life that were so crazy. I try to go to a barbecue. I'm just sitting there. I got a sister crying in my face, doing drama. He yelled at me.
Waterworks.
He screamed at me. Look how he ignores me. When she popped out of my mom and they tried to hand her to me, I went like this. Ah!
I'm serious. Stop.
You're so chill, you don't see what people are doing.
By the way, all your sister did was come up to you at the barbecue before she left and said, "Hey, I just wanted to say hi." That's not what she did.
What did she do?
It
was a personal insult to me, the Spence Dog.
Being saw her, just say hi.
No, she said, "I'm and I don't deserve that." Okay, I was on President Polk's cabinet. I shaped Betty Crocker's butt plug. I was there in the trenches.
Man.
None of that is true. All right, so Charlie's going to suggest in the same conversation that perhaps these crystals are not mellowing you out, and that, as he said, the snake oil salesmen sell those to you. They're a waste of time.
And you do, and it makes you miserable all the time. Not all the time. My life is perfect until Stephanie and Holly try to come in and, like, be part of it. What are you going to do? Build the biggest walls you possibly can and just cordon yourself off from reality forever? I'm trying. That's why I'm trying to keep it in my crystals. I don't think the crystals are working, man, because you're hyperventilating over here, your red face. I know they're not working. That's why there's hundreds on me right now. Maybe take them all off and look in the mirror
Ooh, good advice from the stoner.
Wait, you know they're not working, so you have hundreds of them on you?
I figured the more the merrier. Maybe it's just that Spence dog is so powerful that I need more crystals to help me.
Is it true that
more
you've spent...
More than the average person. I'm a demigod.
Is it true that you've spent $500,000 on crystals?
Yes.
Is it true that most crystals sell between $1 and, like, $99?
Yes.
So how many have you actually purchased? Why do you
$7.5 billion.
Why do you need that many?
Because, like I said, when you're dealing with this kind of fleshy beard, when you're dealing with Ledoux, okay,
right,
at one night, when you're dealing with Detroit Bar the next night,
right,
and you're at my house the next night, and then you got a mansion in the Hollywood Hills, you got your Malibu pad. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of places you got to spread those crystals out, Ken
right.
Dog. Okay.
Okay.
So listen, the bottom line is lunch at the Ivy. You and I. Yes or no?
What?
I know the mater day.
No, I don't want to have lunch with you.
What?
I don't want to have lunch with you and your stupid crystals.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I directed
great news.
3 episodes of Sea Hunt.
You did.
Recognize.
Oh,
shut your damn mouth. Shut your damn mouth. You can't handle the truth.
If there's truth, I will handle it.
No more wire hangers. No more wire hangers.
The hills will be gone soon, and so will you, Spencer. Go ahead and show yourself out, son.
I invented the forearm.
Well, let's open up Ralph's Video Vault, shall we?
What?
Welcome to Ralph's Video Vault.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, hello.
What the hell is going on here?
Hello.
Well, just good things.
Kevin's been off a couple days. He loses a touch, loses a step.
And for me to lose a step.
We're talking about...
makes it pretty far behind.
That's a bad news.
One of the best, worst movies in the history of cinema. A movie I discovered from a documentary called Best... Worst Movie, which comes out next week. We'll be talking more about the actual documentary itself. But its focus is the film that was released 20 years ago, Troll 2.
Quite a category, by the way, the best worst movie. I mean,
it really is.
Some stiff competition.
But this may actually own the title because, in fact, it is given a 0% rating on RottenTomatoes.com. There's never been a positive review published about it.
Okay.
And IMDb.com. The site for data about film and television has awarded it the worst film ever made, according to their reviews.
Isn't there one person that wants to just make a name by saying, I'm the only one who reviewed it well?
But here's the thing. You can only really enjoy a bad movie when the people making it are completely earnest and have tried to make the best film that they can make,
right,
in my opinion. That's the only way you can really enjoy a bad movie. And Troll 2 certainly qualifies.
They mean it with all their hearts.
They thought they were making a real horror epic here about goblins, which I think is interesting because it's called Troll 2. However, the word troll is never used in the film.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Troll 2 was the title sort of slapped on it by the people who purchased the film because Troll was a reasonable success, and they thought they could market it as Troll 2 and make their money back.
But there's no troll?
There's no connection between Troll 1 and Troll 2.
Okay, good.
Troll 2 features a young boy named Joshua, who when the film opens is being read a really disturbing bedtime story by his grandpa, Seth. It is not the kind of story you want to read to a kid before he goes to bed. It will guarantee to give him nightmares because it's about goblins trapping someone and eating them.
Oh, good. Good.
Who are they, Grandpa?
Cruel, deformed forest dwellers. Haughty creatures. Spiteful and impudent. They are the vengeful and evil goblins. Little people of the night.
Yeah, nothing more terrifying than a creature that is haughty, spiteful, and impudent.
Oh, I thought you said impudent. I was like, how does that figure?
That is horrifying, Lisa, for you. But for the rest of us, these impudent goblins are horrible.
Grandpa may not have a real bead on his grandson's vocabulary skills, by the way.
Well, this is the beauty of this movie. It's written by an Italian husband and wife team. And English is very much their second language.
Okay.
So I get the sense that the script was translated from Italian into English, and it's a literal translation of whatever the Italian was.
Which doesn't usually work.
So you hear a lot of weird turns of phrase when it comes to the English used in this film. Here's the thing about Grandpa Seth, who you just heard reading that story to his grandson. He's dead.
What?
Yeah, he's dead.
While reading?
No, he's been dead for a while now.
All right.
But he comes back and visits his grandson as a ghost.
I see.
And Joshua keeps telling his mom about that, and she's had an ass full of that.
I see him in front of me, and he's so real. And he tells me stories from just like before.
Grandpa Seth has been gone for more than 6 months now. You were at the funeral, and I know it was very difficult for you. It was also very difficult for your father, and for Holly, and for me, his daughter. He was an amazing man, Grandpa Seth has remained in all our hearts, but you must banish him from your mind. Remember what the doctor said?
Of course. Grandpa Seth is just an invention of my subconscious.
That's right.
That's right, honey.
That's great acting.
My little disturbed child.
That is the worst acting I have ever heard.
And
banish
me,
that old
his
man.
Daughter. Right. He's a great man, but banish him from your mind forever.
Yeah, it's...
I can do that.
It gets... we've seen it. We've seen you bump into people at bars.
That's true.
Excuse me. So the family's going on a trip to a little country town upstate called Nilbog. And while they're getting, they're packing and stuff, Mom talks to Dad about their son Joshua and how the fact that she's concerned about his being visited by the dead grandfather.
I'm worried about Joshua. He's still seeing Grandpa Seth.
When I was a kid, I had an imaginary playmate, too.
But it wasn't your dead grandfather.
Good point.
Yeah, it'll end. This trip will make him forget about your father.
Michael?
Yeah?
Who are the goblins?
Hey, wait a minute. That's a turn out of left field. Bringing up the goblins on me like that.
He says, I don't know what the goblins are, honey. So they're going off to Nilbog and bringing, of course, along their oversexed teenage daughter, Holly, whose boyfriend, Elliot, sneaks into her room quite often.
Sure.
Because he gets, I'm not kidding you, he says he has to visit her because he has nocturnal raptures.
What does that mean?
I guess he's got a stiffy.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But it's an odd turn of phrase for a 16-year-old boy to say.
Yeah.
And that conversation gets even weirder.
I'm the victim of a nocturnal rapture. After Lise Mellowis and sinks with a woman.
Oh! Release your instincts in the bathroom.
Are you nuts? You trying to turn me into a homo?
Wouldn't it be too hard? If my father discovers you here, he'd cut off your little nuts and eat them. He can't stand you.
And you?
I like you, but my family doesn't like you. They say you're good for nothing, and that you spend way too much time with your friends.
Yeah, you having friends at all? You bad kid with friends.
Unbelievably bad acting.
The most horrific part of the movie is she says her father will cut off his nuts and eat them. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Scarier than the goblins.
Sure, there's that.
So the family goes off on this trip, and Elliot gets some of his buddies in a camper van, and they follow them because he needs to be near his girlfriend. And when they get there, they find out that Nilbog is run by an ancient druid witch.
Of course.
Of course. Who is helping the goblins turn regular people into plants so they can eat them because the goblins are vegetarians.
Okay.
This whole storyline again.
Yes. And the goblins can also give the persona of a regular human being.
Okay.
They can appear to
like
be
shapeshifters.
Like us. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this whole town of Nilbog is filled with people, but they're all goblins in disguise.
Ah.
And that's why Grandpa Seth is coming back to visit Joshua to protect him from the goblins.
Sure.
Well, one of the boyfriend's friends goes to the general store to get some supplies for breakfast.
Right.
And he is taught a lesson about how things work in Nilbog because they're all vegetarian goblins.
Can I help you?
Coffee.
There's no coffee here in Nilbog. It's the devil's drink.
Eggs. Bacon.
Are you crazy, boy? We're vegetarians here in Nilbog. Didn't you know that? Here's some Nilbog milk. Special milk. High in vitamin content. Here is free.
Free?
Of course it's free. We love tourists here in Nilbog.
Don't drink the Nilbog milk, because that is the potion that will turn you into a plant.
Yeah.
In fact, all of the food in Nilbog, if you eat it, will turn you into a plant.
Okay.
That's why at one point, young Joshua has to stand up on the dinner table and urinate all over their meal.
So they won't eat it
so they won't turn into plants, because dead Grandpa Seth told him that was the way to do it.
Logical. Makes sense.
Absolutely. As does little Joshua, who's running around Nilbog city limits and happens to look up and see the Nilbog sign and makes this discovery.
Nilbog! It's goblin spelled backwards!
Uh-oh.
This is their kingdom!
Nilbog is goblin spelled backwards!
Uh-oh.
Well, then everyone starts to realize soon that they're surrounded by shape-shifting goblins who want to turn them into plants.
Sure.
And the entire family is trapped, along with Elliot, the boyfriend. The other friends haven't survived.
Okay.
And at one critical moment in the film, they're surrounded by the goblins about to be murdered. And this is the conversation Elliot tries to start up with the head of the goblins.
Please, let's talk. We're all humans here.
Nope. No, you're not. You're humans, they're goblins.
They wrong.
I didn't write this movie, but I know that much. I would cut that line of dialogue out. Wait a minute, aren't they goblins? Let's just strike that from the script. They realize that the goblin's power naturally comes from the ancient druid witch's magic stone of Stonehenge.
Of course.
Right? I mean, that's pretty much an obvious
of course.
Statement of fact.
That's
it. And Grandpa Seth says the only way to destroy it is with the power of goodness.
Okay.
And so the family has to put their hands on the Stonehenge in order to destroy the power of the goblins with their goodness.
Okay.
I think Joshua describes it better than I do.
Quick, help me. Put your hands on the stone and concentrate.
What?
Don't you see? Only the power of goodness can destroy these monsters.
Oh.
Well, the power of goodness prevails. And the stone is shattered, the druid witch is killed, the goblins are killed, and they all leave Nilbog worse for wear, but I think they've learned an important lesson. They all get home, everything goes back to normal, and inexplicably, Mon turns into a plant.
No.
And goblins show up out of nowhere.
No.
And eat her in the kitchen.
Nope.
No.
And unfortunately, Josh was going into the kitchen for a glass of milk when that's all happening. And he discovers the goblins eating his mom. And this is the haunting last moments of Troll 2 that will live with you forever.
Do you want some, Joshua?
Do you want some? Which is the same reaction I had after I saw this film. I released the same piercing shriek.
Wow.
Well, that's quite a setup for Troll 3, though.
It
Come
is
on.
90 minutes of magic.
Wow.
And I found out yesterday it's available on Hulu.com as well.
Okay.
So you don't even have to Netflix it or pick it up from Amazon.com. You can watch it for free on Hulu.
That's H-U-L-U?
That is what it is. And you will love this film and share it with everyone you know.
This is the best.
You want to close up the video, Vaughn?
What 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Go to KRock.com if you like details on how to buy tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Nope, for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is coming up very soon. It is 6:43.
Kevin may have come back a day too early, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right, it's the most wonderful time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. The Maxim Hot 100 issue is on newsstands this week. We love this issue so much. In fact, I usually have to buy two, one to use and one to save.
Oh.
But every year we look forward to talking to the editor-in-chief of Maxim about the selection process. And, of course, as always, we've got some quibbles with some of the selections and their rankings. Joe Levy joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show once again. Hi, Joe. How are you, man?
I am good. How are you guys?
We are good.
Everybody, Christmas shopping started now?
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
We're always so happy, as I know the rest of your readers are, about this issue. How much time goes into selecting your Hot 100 and putting this this mag together?
Oh, it's a year's work. I mean, there's the arguments about next year's list will start right now.
Okay.
I think you guys are going to start the arguments right now.
I'd like to start the argument with number 57. I'd like to start the argument with that, and I would like you to say next year, if you include Kesha, the list is 1,000% bogus.
Okay. First off, that's number 56.
Okay, whatever.
And I know
is she on the list?
For that spot was Betty White, and I'm sorry to disappoint you.
See, well, that's funny. You put Kesha on the list.
Yes, I did. That was me.
Maxim Hot 100.
Of the Hot 100. Yeah, well, she knows how to party, and we like that.
That's what she says.
Maybe we need to back up one step here, Joe, because clearly the criteria that you're using to select women is not whether they're attractive or not. There must be something else going on.
Wait a minute. Have you actually seen the pictures? Are you looking at the pictures?
We look at the pictures in depth.
That's all I do all day is look at the pictures.
Right.
But Kesha has no boobs. She's got a big, fat, square ass. You wouldn't want to see this woman in a bikini, much less naked. I suspect you put her on the list because she's popular.
Have
right?
you guys actually met Kesha?
No.
Okay. All right. So I just want to confirm that she has boobs. That's all been done with eyesight, not with tactile investigation.
All right.
But I have been in the room, and they are there. They're real, and they're spectacular.
So is
really? That, I can't. I find that hard to believe. Just based on
dude, you know what can I tell you? She actually.
Okay.
There's no squareness on the. But listen, I understand you guys are hating on Kesha.
All right, let me ask you
I
this.
I actually find her funny.
I find
the record funny.
Is this the top 100 funny singers? All right, let me just ask you this question: is Kesha indeed hotter than Gabrielle Union,
Lindsey Vonn, Alessandra Ambrosio, Odette Yustman, Yvonne Strahovski, Kelly Brook, and Keeley Hazel.
Well, you might have me on Kelly Brook and Alessandra Ambrosio.
I would have you on every one of those names.
No. The others, I'm going to come out there and thumb wrestle you guys into submission.
Odette Yustman, really?
We have seen her in person.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, she's amazing. Look, Kesha's not as hot as Warren Sapp, okay? She doesn't belong anywhere on this list, but we're clearly not going to be able to agree on this. Get back to the criteria for one second. Some of it clearly has to be the impact they're making in pop culture, right? Because somebody like Olivia Munn, who I think is very hot, very beautiful, well-deserving to be on the list, she went from 90-something last year into the top 10 this year. That's because her profile has been raised, not because she's hotter, right?
That is because her profile has been raised.
Both.
You're absolutely right. We're looking at the total package, which does include what are these women doing right now this year? What have they done in the last few months? What's coming up? Olivia's profile has been raised. Her Maxim cover earlier this year was one of the things that raised her profile. And I've got to say, our reader's response to that cover was part of what moved her up the hot one.
And rightfully so.
I think that's legitimate.
The top 10, number 10 is Marissa Miller. Number 9 is Kim Kardashian. Number 8, Olivia Munn. Number 7 is I don't know how to say her name.
Elisabetta Canales.
George Clooney's girlfriend. Number 6 is Rihanna. Number 5 is Megan Fox. Number 4, Blake Lively. Number 3, Zoe Saldana. Number 2, Brooklyn Decker. Number 1, Katy Perry. Now, number 1, Katy Perry.
Yes.
That's just something we could all agree on.
You don't want to actually go with the square butt and
no.
with Katy Perry.
No.
Okay. She's next to perfect. What? And let me tell you something else about this, Joe, and I don't know if you have this category, but a woman is hotter to me if she seems like a lot of fun and has a great personality, and Katy just is, she's a 10 on every level.
That's what I like about you is that you look at the whole lady.
Yeah, that's me. That's what he's known for.
Brains are a turn on for you. That's what I've always admired about you.
That's what he's known for.
Absolutely. Katy Perry is the complete package and
absolutely.
Then some.
Yeah.
She is gorgeous. She's also extremely talented. Plus, she's a lot better, I think we can all admit, at skateboarding than any of us.
Well,
she's
that's true.
Better at everything than any of us. I love her so much. Now, I don't want her to marry Russell Brand. That's how much I love her.
Scarlett Johansson was before Iron Man 2 or after Iron Man 2? Had you already seen it?
No, we had not already seen it.
Because
there is a little bit of ass kicking in a leather outfit that she does in that movie that
should move her up like about 10 spots.
I think it only confirms what we already know, but it was a tremendous amount of fun. If only the movie had been nothing but that, I would still be in the theater right now.
I agree.
I got one question for you. Joe Levy on the line, editor-in-chief of Maxim. You can go to Maxim.com, by the way, to see pictures and video of all the ladies we're discussing and so much more in the top 100. And you can get thumbnail photos at KevinandBean.com if you want to check that out this morning. Adriana Lima, not on the list at all?
Whoa.
Adriana Lima was on the list last year. Now, it's been a minute since we've seen Adriana. She took a little time off. Took a little time off to start a family.
Right.
She'll be back in the swing of things next year.
Okay.
Look for her to reappear in a spectacular manner.
She's gone because she got knocked up in fat. That's basically why she's not on the list.
I wouldn't put it that way. I think
nor will I.
It's a miracle. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But as we were discussing before, we're actually looking at what these women are doing in the last few months and the next few months.
All right. So. We're going to have to leave it there. But, Joe, we couldn't be bigger fans of the magazine or this list. In fact, I'd like to suggest, and maybe this is the next Facebook groundswell campaign, that really you, the editors at Maxim, should be picking the next Supreme Court justice. That's what I think should be happening, because I'm not happy with the selections they've been making lately.
You're not. I know. You're stumping for Betty White there as well.
No, it's just that they're putting all sorts of chicks on the court, which is great. But come on, some of the ladies from your list deserve a shot. That's what I'm saying.
Arianny Celeste, for one. She should be a Supreme Court justice.
I think that Jennifer Love Hewitt has distinguished herself with a long career in public service, and it is time for her to wear that robe.
All right.
Hey, she could talk to ghosts, so she can do anything. All right, Joe, great job as always, except for the whole Kesha thing at number 56. But we'll revisit that with you next year. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Are you ready for the return of Limp Bizkit? We will discuss coming up after the top of the hour. Also, Johnny Knoxville joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ron.
Well, one of the first of our artists has already canceled their concert plans for Phoenix, Arizona.
Uh-oh. Oh, really?
Due to the change in the immigration law. Excuse me, it's in Tucson, Arizona. Cypress Hill
has canceled one of their tour stops in Tucson.
You ever been to Tucson?
I have been.
It sucks.
It's not it's not a good city.
Without the law, it sucks.
You ever been to Old Tucson?
Oh, yes, yeah. I have.
Which is like the lame-ass cowboy theme park they have there?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, when I first drove out country from Philadelphia to Los Angeles, I stopped in Arizona in several spots. And I said, oh, Old Tucson, that sounds like fun. Sounds like Westworld. A lot of shows and cowboys and stuff. And it's like four buildings and a churro stand.
It is so bad.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. Is it a protest about the immigration law, or is it possible that somebody in Cypress Hill is illegal and they don't want to get deported there?
That's a great question.
There's a strong possibility both of those are true. Yeah. They said their decision is a show of resistance to the criminalization of immigrant communities. And so they will not be performing there. And I guess people in Tucson are poorer for it.
Hmm.
Now, Be Real, of course, is of Mexican lineage. And I think he has a particular problem with this law, but we'll have to wait and see. Black Eyed Peas, by the way, also said they won't play. It's the new Sun City.
It is.
Yeah. More music news. Are you guys familiar with the horror mashup genre of fiction?
Yes.
I knew Lisa would be. She's a voracious reader.
This is like Pride and Prejudice and the Zombies, that sort of thing.
Pride and Prejudice and the Zombies. What they'll do is take famous literary and or historical figures and turn them on their ear with sort of a horror bent. For example,
Abe Lincoln and the Vampires.
Very popular book is Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, where he's not only the 16th president, but he's also hunting vampires on his own free time.
Sure.
Jesus Christ, Vampire Killer.
Sure.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Well, there's a new book coming out next month that has already been purchased and bought by a movie studio, and it's in production for a film before the book was even released.
Really?
Wow.
It's called Paul is Undead, The British Zombie Invasion, about the Beatles being zombies. John Lennon, apparently in the late 50s, bites the other three Beatles and turns them all into zombies.
I believe it.
And they start to brainwash and mind meld with their fans and eat them. And, of course, they battle their arch enemy, zombie killer Mick Jagger, and the Rolling Stones. Okay. They have to battle each other.
That might have happened, by the way. How do you know, man?
I don't know. I wasn't there. But
all came from Yoko. That's what I know.
No, apparently she is a dark ninja lord in this book that they discover late in their careers.
Is that good or bad?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's already going to be turned into a movie.
Wow.
All right.
And the book hasn't even been released yet, but I guess the concept was so strong they just couldn't resist it. So, the Beatles live on. They won't die, literally and in this book. Zoe Saldana. Oh.
Yes. Number three.
Has a complaint about how movies are made.
She has a complaint, yes?
Yeah, she says that movies today are too loaded with violence.
Oh.
And the movies don't have near enough sex, she says.
All right.
She wants more sex in movies.
She's right, by the way.
She says sex is natural. Guns are not. And I say, Zoe, you are in the motion picture industry. I suggest you hump as much on screen as possible to try to have a one-woman campaign to bring sex back into our movies.
Make that happen.
I agree 100%, but didn't she agree to star in Star Trek and Avatar, both of which are about wars?
Yes.
With lots of fighting?
She was also in The Losers, where she humps a ton.
Okay.
Ton of humping.
So we're due a humping one, then, now that she's done those. That's now we're due some more humping.
Yeah. And speaking of violence and sex, I cannot wait for the second season of Jersey Shore to start airing on MTV this summer, because word is coming out from Miami Beach, Florida, where this season of the show has been filmed, that there is plenty of both, including this new lawsuit from a girl named Kristen Demico, who says that she was at a bar Saturday night and Sammy Sweetheart from Jersey Shore punched her in the face twice.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Wow.
Apparently, Kristen was talking to a guy who was Sammy's boyfriend. Sammy started calling her names. Kristen said a few back, and then Sammy punched her in the face twice, and she's suing. So, looks like MTV's already got their good stuff for their season.
That's how you settle a disagreement on the Jersey Shore, though, right?
Yeah.
Is with fists.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't have it any other way. We'll watch if they didn't do it that way.
And you know, I told you last week, Sylvester Stallone said no more Rocky movies and now no more Rambo movies either. The character's being retired.
Right.
Well, isn't keeping him from other sequels.
Uh-oh.
Just announced in The Hollywood Reporter there's a sequel to Judge Dredd in the works.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, it was awful.
So it's just the good ones he's not going to do anymore?
Yes, apparently.
And the characters we care about?
We're going to get a lot of Rhinestone 2 and Stop or My Mom Will Shoot 2.
Oh, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Gabriel Byrne, very talented actor, 60 years old today. Ving Rhames turns 51. Emilio Estevez is 48 years old. Vanessa Williams, former Miss America, on Ugly Betty, of course, and in the pages of Playboy, Penthouse. I remember her very well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
47 years old. Stephen Hawke of the acting Baldwin Brothers. Stephen Baldwin of the acting Baldwin Brothers is 44 years old. Tony Hawke is 42 years old today. Kim Fields, Tootie.
Yeah!
From Facts of Life is 41. Malin Ackerman turns 32 years old. Jason Biggs from American Pie is 32 as well. And Malcolm David Kelly, little Walt from Lost, is little no longer. 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. If you'd like to buy tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast, become a K-Rock Street Team member. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details. The tickets go on sale to you tomorrow for everybody else on Saturday. It is 7:08.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Johnny Knoxville joins us in a few minutes. Also, DeJuan is single and looking. Ladies, we've got his eHarmony-style video we'll be playing for you coming up here soon. And how about the great Ricky Gervais on the program? Talk about a personal comedy hero of mine.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk to Mr. Gervais. That's coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, there's a band that was very popular, immensely popular, a few years ago. You may not even remember them. You certainly haven't thought about them in a long time. This will refresh your memory about a group called Limp Bizkit. Now you're turned into stone without a microphone. But don't you forget you're in the zone. So shut the fuck up. They had a lot of hits. They sold over 50 million albums. Unfortunately, I am giving this information to no one because everyone checked out. Everyone hit another radio button as soon as they heard that montage of Limp Bizkit hits. Or, am I right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Or you're wrong.
Oh, Lightning.
So Lightning was our producer for many years. Now he works on the web side of it, on the video side of it. But he really was known, and quite accurately so, as Wrong Man. When he was our producer.
True.
Yes.
Sure.
Wrong Man. Everything he took a stand on, we would know that immediately. We didn't even need information. We just knew if Lightning was on one side, our position needed to be on the other side.
So this has come up recently because Limp Bizkit is no longer just a flashback, ladies and gentlemen. They are returning to the public eye with the original members. They got back together with their guitarist, and they got a new album coming out. They're going out on a big summer tour. They were on Leno the other night, for God's sake. Which relieved Jay Leno the opportunity of sucking the whole show by himself. He had a little bit of help. But who's the audience for Limp Bizkit? Who's welcoming them back? That's the question that I have. And Lightning says, I'm way out of line on this, and that there are lots of people who are excited that the Bizkit might return.
Yeah, we don't know anything about – we don't have a finger on the pulse like Lightning does.
Sure.
And Lightning is here to tell us that Limp Bizkit is what it's all about.
But no, clearly they're not like – the cool, cutting-edge, like, Dead Weather type band. They're very, very different, and they are flashback. I'm not speaking for the current album, as I don't have very much knowledge of Gold Cobra or whatever it is.
You're speaking of My Way or the Highway?
I'm talking about all that stuff. Listen, the old stuff, if you go to clubs, maybe not so much in Hollywood, all right? Because, you know, they're not the music geeks. But if you're out in, like, the outlying areas, the blue-collar areas,
sure, yeah,
people still rock the Limp Bizkit in the
all
clubs.
Right.
I'm telling you, they
when
just
When was
do.
The last time you were in a club anywhere that wasn't, you know, a dive bar where you and your flatbillers hang out? A club, not a bar, not you were eating at
I'm telling you, like, someone will throw on, and like for example, Omar, of course, my request, but it gets a good reaction. It's like a Timbaland remix. Remember when he did
You can't talk about remixes now. You're talking about the band making a comeback.
When was the last time you were in a club?
I was in a bar. Okay. I was in a bar.
In
it wasn't
what part of town? I know this doesn't go...
It was in OC.
Uh-huh. Okay. And this was a bar.
This was a bar.
Okay, because yes. your claim is that you don't understand your highfalutin hipsters from Hollywood that in OC, if they played in a club, place goes crazy.
I didn't say the place goes crazy. No, I'm not insinuating that. But what I am
you
saying
just said
is
everyone
that...
everyone doesn't
okay,
actually
so
walk out.
So here's the deal. We work in Hollywood, work around the music industry.
Right.
And it's cool to dislike Limp Bizkit. That's just... It's the way it's
Do
cool
you know
to
why?
Dislike Creed. Here's the thing. We don't play Creed for obvious reasons.
Right.
And we dropped... When Fred had the issue where he became kind of a loudmouth and we dropped him, and then he had Starfish and the hot dog flavored water, whatever, and it was a bad record, we dropped it like a bad habit.
But do you remember the last Limp Bizkit record? Do you remember that and how second grade-ish it was?
I agree.
Horrible.
I agree. So, you know,
how many albums did they put out? Three?
I'm going to say
they had about five.
Fifth album.
Five,
yeah.
No kidding.
But the last one, Kevin, look, I'm no Limp Bizkit defender, but I will tell you that they lost their guitarist, remember? He left the band, and so he wasn't on that last album. And I think that's a lot of the reason why it sucked, because I think he's an integral part of that sound. Now they are back together. Look, I think a lot's going to have to do with them making a good record. My question is, I can't conceive of a scenario where they would make a record as long as Fred Durst is doing this kind of singing that he's known for, that it would not sound completely out of date and hokey. The sound is over. That movement, I mean, they were very popular at the time because rap rock was happening. That is so over now that I don't even think you listen to those and it's a good flashback anymore. It's like listening to the Macarena to me now.
No,
you're embarrassed that that was a hit at the time, and I certainly don't want to live through it again.
I disagree. I don't think, now, again, I'm not speaking up for
Limp
this
Bizkit
record.
CD in your
no,
car
I mean,
right
it's
now?
No, like, I mean, it's like classic rock.
Do you have it
rock.
In,
I mean,
car, in your car right now? Limp Bizkit?
I do not.
No.
Yeah, no, what's on? Yeah, I do. I do. But see, listen, guys, I'm not the big Fred Durst fan or Limp Bizkit fan, whatever.
No, you
but
just
I'm
think
saying
we're
that
missing...
there's no. All I was saying is that there is a place for this band. You cannot erase the history, Kevin. You were over there bobbing your head.
There
when we
is
were back
a place for this band. Yes, it's 1991
I'm
or whenever
you,
it was.
This stuff
whatever
is, a hit is a hit, and these were and they had hits. I mean, Faith, Nookie. You know, in Together
no,
Now, My
like,
Generation.
They had a lot of,
my
had a lot of
hits.
50 million
massive.
Records. Of course they had hits.
I like Break Stuff. I like that.
You like what?
Break Stuff. I like that one. I thought that was good.
Well,
I like their Mission Impossible theme. But
all I'm trying to say is when you hear the stuff now, because we have so forgotten about it, it does kind of sound fresh. Every once in a while, you know, we'll hear a Korn song. And we don't spin them in regular rotation, but you'll hear and you're like, wow, it sounds fresh. And it's nice as a, you know, as a throwback.
But
again, I'm not saying this record is going to be great.
You're
I've
saying
only
Limp
heard
Bizkit
one
is
track,
the same as Korn?
Bean brought up a very good point in that they represented a time and a place that there was very unique taste in music.
Right.
And Korn as well kind of really hit their stride in that era. But they've tried to progress and change as they've gone on. And I think members of that band, Korn, they can change and alter their musical styles to maybe meet the day. What is Fred Durst going to do besides jump around and go, yeah, yeah, and
I think it's all about the flashbacks.
And I don't know if in 2010 if that's going to apply. That's what Bean's saying.
It's not all about
Kevin's
the flashbacks.
Saying.
It's all about the he said, she said. Bullshit.
right? No, I hear you. Come on.
Lightning,
can't
believe
Are they relevant in today's mix?
No.
I don't know. But
no,
wait. But,
I do know, and the answer is no. Might some people enjoy a flashback show if it was like in the parking lot of a Jack in the Box at midnight? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, I mean,
all
obviously,
right,
let's
turn it over to the listeners because the phones are blowing up on Limp Bizkit right now. Lightning says there's still a lot of affection for this band. There are still a lot of people who like him, and maybe even quite a few who are excited that they're back together in their original lineup and going to come out with a new record this summer and go out on tour. I don't think that there's I don't think it's conceivable that they would make a record that would reach any kind of mass acceptance at this point. I just don't think. I think the times have changed. Music has changed too much. I think they're limited in their ability, and they were in the right place at the right time, and that time is long gone. So what do you think? 1-800-520-1067. Your calls when we return on the Kevin and Bean. Our former producer and now the genius behind KevinandBean.com, who does a great job for us, Lightning, is in the studio right now. He's the only guy we've been able to find so far who is still willing to admit that he likes Limp Bizkit.
You guys remember Mr. Rauch?
Not just that he likes it, but that we're missing the boat because a lot of people like it.
Yeah,
right.
Remember Alex before he got blown out?
Yeah,
he was also outspoken about the Bizkit. And,
well, there are a lot of flatbillers though.
No, but he's not.
Mean they're right.
He's so Mike, you can attest. He's like the world's biggest Queens of the Stone Age fan. He's like totally into everything Jack White does.
Listen, I'm not saying you're a bad person if you like them. Listen,
I am.
They're just very similar. Let's remember all the glam rock bands. They sold 40, 50, 60 million records in 1986, 87. And now you can listen to them 30 years later, 20 years later, and enjoy those songs.
Right.
But that was a very specific type of music that lived in that era, and they are not going to be able to remake new music now that is applicable. If now There's, you want to yeah. listen to Nookie and on your flashback lunch, that's fine. But I don't think that Limp Bizkit stands a chance in hell of making new music that's applicable to an alternate modern rock scene.
Okay, well, listen, I'm not standing up for that. What I am saying is that there are enough fans to sell out quite a few concerts. I don't know anything
by
about this new record
what
and
size?
How it's going to work.
What size? By themselves.
You know, they're trying
they
to, like,
opening.
Locally they're doing Verizon Wireless, but I think that with Ice Cube, but I think probably 5,000 seats is probably more doable, but we'll see.
And by 5,000, you mean 500?
Let's take some calls. We don't have much time, but let's try Sharon. She's on line 8 calling on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think she's going to put Limp Bizkit in perspective for us. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
I just have to say Lightning's totally wrong. You know, I didn't like them very much back in the day.
But wait a minute. Wait. Go ahead and talk about the GT generation. Come on. How do you not like that?
But if you didn't like them back then.
Quality to their music. There's a major cringe factor now. Major.
There is a cringe factor.
But she didn't like them then. So, I mean, you can't. It doesn't
Obviously,
hold any
she
weight
won't
for
like
me.
Them
yeah,
now.
You're like all of a sudden.
When you guys have a 90s flashback weekend, how many people are lighting up the phones asking for Limp Bizkit?
People don't light up the phones in general
that
anything, but you know,
zero.
Thank you very much for the call. Look, I understand, and here's a David has emailed in. Lightning says the clubs go off if a Limp Bizkit song comes on. Sure, I bet if Nookie comes on, people goes crazy. They also go nuts if Ice Baby comes on, but nobody gives a crap if Vanilla Ice tries to put out a new record. Bizkit is just a comedy throwback now that's ironic to enjoy when you're S-faced. I don't have any problem with people reliving the glory days of high school or whatever because they like to break stuff. My point is, and I'm looking more toward the future, is the fact that this band is back together and getting ready to put out a new album, I don't think anybody cares, and I don't think they're musically talented enough to make something that anyone's going to want to hear in 2010. That's where I'm coming down.
All right, let's start, go to Sandra. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm excited that they're coming back. I mean, other bands come back all the time, and I think there's enough room for them to be around.
Right, but I mean, seriously.
I'm serious.
If they came out with a new album, what are the chances it would be good?
Well, that I don't know. But
yes,
I mean,
you do know. You know the chances are pretty slim.
Well, but we still have to give them a chance. I think you're more commenting on a personal level because maybe you don't like Fred Durst. But
no, it's not that. It's just that sound is so unbelievably dated. That's all I'm saying is it was a specific place and time.
And part
of, does not translate to the world we live in today.
Part of my problem with them is that some of their radio hits were pretty decent songs at the time, for mm-hmm. that time. Mm-hmm. But some of the other stuff on the albums was just diametrically opposed. It was so bad. It was just laughable.
Sure.
And most
sure.
CDs that put out, at least you have some average and some great. You don't have laughable. They had laughable songs.
Yeah,
dude.
They did. But you know, on like this that starfish hot dog flavored whatever. Yeah, that was a wreck of a record. But man, we saw them. Yeah, I guess it's the nostalgia coming through. You know,
that's what it is.
I think that's exactly what it is. Hey, look, I saw them in concert opening for Metallica. Remember that tour that they went out on? And they were great. I mean, they were really, really good. They had a lot of songs that people liked, and they put on a great show at the time. Would I go see that same show today? No, I wouldn't.
You're talking about Summer Sanitarium?
Is that what it was? Yep. That was the tour.
All right, let's talk to Yogi then. Hi, Yogi.
Hey, what's up?
You went to the Summer Sanitarium?
Dude, I went to Summer Sanitarium like a few years back. Dude, everybody was booing them off stage, throwing beer on stage, trash and all that.
And I remember that one show that you're talking about because we had Fred Durst in on our show shortly after that to discuss it, if I recall correctly. Yeah, that was weird. I do remember what you're talking about.
Remember he was telling her, you got to show us some biscuit love and this and that. If it wasn't for him playing Sanitarium, everybody would have like just rush the stage. You're like, he's retarded. He doesn't need to come back at all.
All right.
So I'm going to put you down as a no for the new album and tour this summer.
Major
okay.
No.
All right, good. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. I guess we're just going to have to leave it there and just wait and see what happens next. Wait and see. I mean, look, I'll listen to the record when they come out with it. I'm going to be, surprised if it's any good, but we'll see.
When is that going to be? Do we know?
I don't.
Coming out
I don't
have
it. I've not seen a date.
Lightning?
No, I don't have the date.
You don't even care.
I don't care that much. Come on, guys.
Don't even.
Come on. How happy does that make you when you hear that sound, Kevin?
Very.
It's the return of Johnny Knoxville on MTV, this time a little bit more behind the scenes than perhaps we are used to, as one of the executive producers of the Dudesons in America. We love these Dudesons guys from Finland. We had them in on our show last week. Another new episode airs tomorrow night at 10 on MTV. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Johnny Knoxville back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. We had your little Dudesons friends in here last week. Man, those guys, they give you a run for your money with Crazy, don't they?
Yeah, aren't they great, man? They really go for it, and they're so sweet. They're really lovable.
They're nice. They're funny. They're stupid. They're nice. I mean, the stuff they do, you must look at and go, I wouldn't do that.
They're everything you want in a stunt man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One of them was wearing a full, like, body cast that he had on since the day four of shooting. I think that was Yarpy.
That's tomorrow night's episode. Poor old Yarpy breaks his back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. And you, with all of your jackass crew, you must sit around with the dudes and just compare injuries, right? You got to be checking out each other's scars and braces and everything else, right?
Mostly massaging each other.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, here's what I don't follow, because you and your crew are the undisputed kings of this type of humor. Why did you want to get involved with another show that kind of is following in your footsteps?
Well, they've been doing this a long time, and you know, I never did want to get involved with anyone that was kind of doing stuff like we were doing. But the Dudesons, I really, really liked them, and I think what they do is great. And they said they want to do a show in America, and I'm to the point where I feel like, you know what? Let's get them a shot over here. They're great, and they deserve it.
Now, do they come up with ideas, and then you go, thank God you're here and doing this, because I would never?
No. Like, we're right in the middle of doing Jackass 3 in 3D, so, like,
we got
a lot
about.
Of bad ideas on of our own.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of the Dudesons.
When is Jackass 3D coming out?
October 15th.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's great news. This is new news to our ears. We've been wondering for a long time what's been going on. That's fantastic. Is it done?
No, we got about 4 weeks left. And, man, it's going great. Everyone's really stepping up, and we're getting great footage.
How many of you are injured?
Everyone has had different injuries throughout, so, you know.
Johnny, I know you came on to talk about the Dudesons, but since you mentioned the Jackass 3, I have to ask, are you able to get Steve-O to do anything now that he's not drinking?
You know what? Steve-O is probably getting the best footage out of anybody. He is really going for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, I think he wanted to, like, prove to himself that, like, he could do stuff without, you know, do stunts. I mean, he's first of all, he celebrated his second anniversary of being sober.
Right.
And he's a different dude. He's awesome. And he's taken to being sober like he took to drugs and alcohol.
Right.
Which means he's really sober.
Wholeheartedly, right.
But he's really clear thinking. And I think, like, he's like, you know what, I want to be able to do these stunts. And he's just been going for it. Just annihilating it.
I know that you're one of the people that that had the intervention with him that kind of helped him get sober. Were you worried about bringing him back into that environment?
We were. We absolutely were. But we set up when he shoots, like, he's out in time to attend a meeting. Even when we're out of town, you know, we get him a rental car, and so he can get out of there and get to a meeting, whatever city we're in. He usually travels with a sober person. We're like, Steve-O, whatever we need to keep you sober, and that's what's been going on. Everyone's been real supportive.
That's awesome that you guys are giving him that support and he got his back, because I'm sure there are a lot of situations where somebody goes back and hangs out with their old friends and it is not a good mix because they do everything they can to screw with him. But you guys love him, so that really shows. That's awesome,
yeah.
Johnny.
There's no beer on the set this time around.
Good for you.
Do you wish there were at times?
Oh, hell yeah.
Just before you do stunts.
But if I got to choose between beer and Steve-O, I'm going to choose Steve-O until I can get to the bar.
All right. This is the voice of Johnny Knoxville on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is the executive producer of Dude Sins in America with another new episode tomorrow night at 10 on MTV. Have you spent, I know Bam loves it there, but have you spent some time in Finland where the Dudesons are from also, Johnny?
God, I don't know. Oh, yes. I was in, I usually have to ask Tremaine where I've been.
Right.
I just have no clue. I was in Helsinki for a hot second, riding a ferry from Helsinki to Stockholm. So I didn't get to spend any time. But
I'm really guessing that was on purpose, because it seems like everyone there wants to leave. No,
no, Finland is awesome. You know, I was just there last year,
Kevin.
It's an awesome place. I was just wondering if you know how different it is with what you're able to get away with on a show like this in Finland for the Dudesons versus in America, because it seems like, especially because of Jackass, MTV's got all these rules now about what you can and can't do on TV.
Yeah, I think in Finland you can get away with more, but I've been surprised what MTV's allowed this time around, because I know when we were doing the show on Jackass, at the end, we couldn't really get away with much because of all the senators and everything.
All right, so this one that's tomorrow night at 10, you say this is the one where Yarpy breaks his back.
Poor old Yarpy, he's only got one thumb.
And how does he break his back? He's standing on a building that implodes, or?
Oh, no, that was the first episode.
That was last week, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was amazing. No, he's trying to become a Native American Indian, and somehow they worked a car jump into that.
A car jump through a truck.
Yeah, through a train or a truck. I don't know what it was.
Well, the Native Americans are famous for their car stunts, Johnny. Come on. Everybody knows that.
That's how they jump you in.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I can't wait for the episode. Do you know anything about them trying to go into space, trying to build a rocket? That sounds awesome to me.
Oh, there's some real funny stuff from that episode. I think Yuka ended up in the hospital at the end of that episode.
Does that rocket work better than the one that you guys had over the lake?
I think it's about the same. Works about the same way.
All right, so they don't make it, huh? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, there's not a lot of makes on the Dudesons. I hate to blow it for you.
Yeah.
That's the fun of watching it.
Space travel may be better left to the professionals, I think, is what we're learning here. Well, it's a great show, and we've needed some fresh episodes of a program like this for a long time. So we're very excited. Dudesons in America tomorrow night at 10 on MTV. And I hope, Johnny, we will talk to you again before October when the Jackass 3D comes out, because you know we love having you on the Kevin DeBean Show, and we thank you.
Heck yeah. I want to come in and see you guys. Thanks for having me today.
That'd be great. Thanks, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Blink 182 on the way. Also, Muse and Nirvana, plus Kevin DeBean, listener number one, Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California, as you have never heard him before. I promise that's coming up. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
He is 27 years old. I don't know who owes him those 27 years, but I wish they would pay him. Do you love Zooey Deschanel the way
yes.
I do?
Yes!
Oh, so much.
Not only is she a really, really fine actress, but she's got a great persona on screen, I think.
Yeah,
I think so, too. She exudes a certain charm that is lacking in a lot of modern actresses, I think.
She's strangely hot.
Way hot, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing strange about it. No, she's just flat up hot.
Yeah, I think she's hot, but I mean,
But she's not your typical.
Not typical hot.
Yeah.
Strange, but.
Well, I think because it comes from the inside, her hotness. You know, her sexuality is larger than just her looks. You can't watch 500 Days of Summer without falling in love with her.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
she's
right. Absolutely.
Amazing in that. And she's been in a bunch of films.
Elf.
Varying degrees of stardom. But she's also a musician. She's got She and Him.
She's She, right?
She is She of She and Him.
Okay.
And she was talking to Us Weekly Magazine about her film career and her music career, and she said one of her major influences when she was growing up was Madonna, oddly enough.
Okay.
Not really the kind of music that she does. But she said she loved Madonna as a little girl. When she was young, she would run around singing her songs. She said, I thought she was singing like a Persian. I wasn't quite sure what a virgin was at that age.
That's funny.
I'm going to get Psycho Mike on that to knock out a parody version called Like a Persian.
Like a Persian.
He'll never let us play it, but it'll be funny.
Get Miss Cleo in the video.
Exactly. I like it. And I like her. I also like the TV show Glee. We're going to have Omar do his Glee recap a little bit later in the hour.
Oh, can't wait.
We decided yesterday, Kevin, you're out sick, but we decided that the reason Omar didn't like Glee is that he hadn't seen enough of it.
I see. Okay.
The more he saw of it, the more he would fall in love with it, like we all have. I think it's a charming show.
I like that kind of thinking.
So what we're going to do is expose him to as much as Glee as possible, and the best way for us to do that is to make it sort of like a homework assignment.
Right.
He's going to give us a weekly recap,
and then he'll learn to love it like we do.
Exactly. He will learn the charm and fun that is the half hour of television known as Glee.
You know how he can say things in my headphones that no one else can hear.
I do know that. Yes.
A lot of F words.
I bet that's
a lot of F words
coming right into your ear right now.
Yep. But we all
any G words.
No.
Just
no?
Any S words?
Nope. Just okay. All F. It's all F.
We all know the best way to get someone to enjoy something is to force them to look at it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think of forcing, but exposing. I like to think of it as exposing to something. You know, when you have a little kid and they don't want to eat certain things, you know, you have to have them get a taste of it, and then,
right.
then you expand their palate.
So
that
when
way.
He brings in clips, then he's going to have an appreciation
exactly,
for it.
Exactly, okay. Kevin. Once like again, it. You've crystallized my thoughts.
I like it. I think that's going to go well.
Matthew Morrison, star of Glee, says he loved the Madonna episode of that show. However, he, if has any say in it, will not be doing a Britney Spears show.
Okay.
According to Us Weekly magazine, he got wind that Britney's management started talking to the people at Glee, desperate to do a Britney episode, and Matthew has said no to that idea, and I hope our show doesn't go along that route, he said.
Good she has him. Had a lot of monster hits, though.
Yes.
But they're not based on her singing ability.
Right, I think.
Or
maybe
songwriting
not.
Ability, right?
Well, but. Yeah. Well,
and I think the show is really more about sort of campy fun and doing. Madonna is sort of is a good source of sort of parody for that because she's had such a lengthy, significant,
right.
influential career. I think they're afraid Britney Spears is just trying to do it as some sort of publicity
sure.
thing to get her back into the spotlight. And I think they'd rather it come from their end than from someone else's end, really.
And they'd have to have the fat girl sing her part.
So. That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'd be good.
That's not good.
Jessica Simpson, speaking of fat girls, is keeping her new relationship under wraps, but apparently Us Weekly magazine has the inside information. They see she is dating, and this breaks my heart, Jeremy Renner. From
what?
Hurt Locker.
No.
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 Yeah.
No.
No.
Apparently they've been dating for months, according to the magazine. And she wants to keep it hush-hush, which is their quote. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Jessica that wants to keep it hush-hush, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy's running around telling everybody, but Jessica Simpson wants to keep it under wraps. You know he's pulled her inside and said, look, let's just keep this between you and me, Ryan. No one else reason.
Anybody
let's
else
keep
know.
This special. I don't want to cheapen our relationship by letting anyone else know that we're together.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, that's the walk of shame, getting away from Jessica Simpson's house in the morning.
Man. Talk about a Hurt Locker. It gives it all new meaning. Come on now. Come on.
What part is Jeremy her, is her Hurt Locker?
All of her.
Okay.
Anytime he's with her.
Sad news. Last night, Dancing with the Stars, Niecy Nash.
They were so good.
She was booted off the show. Yeah, so we're all.
Oh, black woman can't be on the show. That's what you're telling me.
She was on for a long time. Kenny Mayne, you know him from ESPN?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yes.
He was also a contestant on the show one time, but he did a little sketch on the show called Dance Center, instead of Sports Center, mm-hmm. where they kind of recap what was going on.
Yeah.
And he said, if you want to be a champion, you've got to be hungry. And Niecy Nash is the hungriest dancer. Because she's pushing maximum density at about 250, so I think
and
that was
every week she had a sketch that involved her eating chicken or something, right?
Yeah,
I mean, she always
said, these are all the fat girls. This is for all the fat girls. This is for all the right. fat girls. Every time she's interviewed, so now she's booted off for all the fat girls. All the fat girls are lost.
Has anyone noticed that Ralph is now a fan of and a consistent viewer of Dancing with the Stars? You notice that
it's
has happened
wife.
Now, right?
It's his wife, yeah.
My wife is watching this year, and so I am watching alongside of her.
Okay.
Because anything I can do to make her happier
yeah.
in the past couple months, I am more than willing to do that.
You're in.
And this is a lot, though. I mean, I hope later she looks back and goes, wow, you gave a lot to me.
If she wanted to be a pirate, I would cut off my hand and put on a hook and buy a parrot.
I want you to be a pirate.
I don't care what you think.
Right.
I don't care about what she thinks.
Okay.
To give you a heads up, too, real quick, tomorrow, keep in mind, I don't want anybody caught by surprise, get out your flight suits, your aviators, your helmets. It is Top Gun Day tomorrow, and I don't want anybody to look like a fool when they go into work and everyone else is in their flight suits carrying around their helmets and their aviator glasses, and you're not, and then you feel like a sap because you didn't have the heads up that it's mm-hmm. Top Gun Day, and you're not screaming, call the ball! When you're walking up and down the hallways of school or whatever. So I just want to give you the heads up. It is Top Gun Day, and you are all invited to
you know, talk like a pirate, pilot.
Pilot, yes.
Talk like a pilot day.
Talk like a pilot day. And, you know, play volleyball in your jeans and sing You've Got That Loving Feeling in bars and stuff. So,
pretty gay movie, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gay in the good way.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Gay in the accurate way as well.
Today is celebrity birthdays. Tony Hawk is 42 years old today. Kim Fields, Tootie.
Yay, yay.
From
that show,
One Day at a Time. No, what the hell is it? Facts of Life. Yeah, that's it. Tootie. Wonder how she got her nickname. Oh, Tootie's here. I'm just saying. Malin Ackerman. Oh, she's delicious. She's 32 years old today. Jason Biggs, also 32. Malcolm David Kelly from Lost turns 18 years old. Great Lost last night. Vanessa Williams is 47. Emilio Estevez is 48. Ving Rhames is 51. Gabriel Byrne is 60. And I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
The great Ricky Gervais, pardon me, I'm dying. Wow. The great Ricky Gervais joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the all-time favorites of the program. I don't believe we've ever had him on before. I think it's going to be a first, so I'm very excited about that coming up. First, though, you guys all know our friend Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you did. He has recently announced via text to everyone he knows, via Twitter, that he is single and looking. He has a very specific type of woman that he's interested in, but we thought we might help him out. If you go to KevinAndBean.com right now, you can see Dewan's video, where I guess it's like they I haven't been to the eHarmony type sites, but I guess this is what you do, is you put a video out there for the world to see, discuss what you're like, discuss what you're looking for, and then just wait for the offers to come in, right?
Yeah. So what's beautiful about this is the Dave, the King of Mexico, is the photographer. He's the videographer.
Okay.
And Psycho Mike is trying to ask the questions to get Dewan to open up. So he begins.
What's your name?
Dewan Amir Johnson.
Can you say my name is?
My name is Dewan Amir Johnson, and I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I'm single. I'm 27 years old.
Okay, can you do that exact same thing, but start from the beginning?
Hello, ladies. I'm Dewan Amir Johnson from Los Angeles, California. I'm 27 years old, and I'm single. My sign is Scorpio.
His sign is Scorpio.
Okay.
He wants people to know that his sign is Scorpio. So if you're a Scorpio,
all right,
you'd be a perfect match, right? Or do you want to go with the same sign?
No, I think you want something else.
You want different
whatever
than a Scorpio.
Whatever matches with Scorpio.
I see. Okay. So then Mike asks him exactly what he's looking for.
What do you look for in a woman and why?
Look for some white woman out in the San Pedro area because they look like California ladies and I'm interested.
Was he blowing a kiss there, Mike? Is that what
that's exactly what he was doing.
That sound effect
was? Nice.
He lives in Pedro?
No, Dewan lives right near the station in the Crenshaw area, for those of you outside of L.A. He lives about 30 miles from San Pedro.
But he drives.
What? Well, he doesn't drive so much as he doesn't have a car and has very limited access to public transportation.
But he picked only white Christian girls in San Pedro?
San Pedro, yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Then Mike asks him, you know, some of the things that he doesn't want in a woman.
What are some of the things that you absolutely wouldn't tolerate in a woman?
Like, I don't like ladies like start smoking and drinking.
Okay. What's your idea of the perfect date?
Take her out to a restaurant.
Look at me, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what's funny, because Dave is the videographer, and Dewan is looking at Mike. He's not looking at Dave, and you want to look into the camera. So Dave tries quietly to go, look at me.
Take her out to a restaurant.
Look at me, dude.
Yeah. Take her out to a restaurant, to movies, hang out, and play some video games at my house.
Can you blow her a kiss?
Excuse me.
That was a very sexy kiss, by the way.
Mike, are you trying to like trick him into making a sex tape? What's the deal with you?
What are you talking about? He's trying
to say with a blowing him a kiss. And what's up next for Psycho Mike? Oh, could you put your hands there? I mean, what are you doing?
I was just trying to let the raw sexual magnetism that Dewan has kind of shine through. You know, kind of come through the camera. That's all. I was trying my best.
All right, you're just trying to highlight the highlights. That's all. And he's also trying to find out what's on the inside of Dewan. What does Dewan have that he can offer a woman?
What are some of the things you have to offer a potential girlfriend?
Some gifts.
Can you give us some examples?
I like that he was done.
Yeah.
Just some gifts.
He's finished some gifts. Okay.
Like, since I don't have my own cards, she can, like, start taking me as a chauffeur.
That's the gift you're going to give her?
Yeah.
He said that was the gift he was giving her. Is that she gets to drive him around, right?
Yes.
How's that a gift for the lady?
That's his gift for her, is that she gets to chauffeur him. Because he's so great, right. And then Mike tries to kind of wrap it up by getting him to, you know, cut loose a little.
All right, and can you say one last thing for us into the camera?
Yes.
Airtight? Go ahead.
I'm tight, and I'm straight.
Now, why do you think he said that? Do you think he didn't understand what, obviously he didn't understand what airtight meant. But
right.
Did he understand what I'm tight? Mm-hmm. And then does he follow that up because he thinks that might be gay or something? Or why does he say, and I'm straight?
I definitely think he meant by I'm tight, just that he's cool, he's like, right. Like slang. But he fully meant I'm straight, just reminding you, I am in fact not a homosexual.
I'm tight and I'm straight.
But why? Why?
Because he's looking at Mike.
He wants to hammer that home.
He's looking at Mike, and Mike's looking at him with those eyes.
Right.
Yeah. And he also,
I'm tight and I'm straight.
That's true. Both of those things are true. He is tight and he is straight. Go to KevinandMe.com if you'd like to see the video, and you can respond to it. And perhaps, if you're lucky, you can go out on a date with DeJuan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California.
As long as you drive. This should be fun. Our next guest is an Emmy Award-winning actor, the host, once again, of next year's Golden Globes, and recently made Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People list. I think they missed the mark on that one, but let's see what he's got to say about it. Ricky Gervais, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Gervais,
Hello.
How are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining us.
How are you?
You are in Britain today? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm halfway. I'm in New York.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Very good, sir.
I'm on my way to L.A. I had to stop off for a rest.
You're going to spend the night there and then come on out?
No, I'm doing a few. I'm playing a couple of nights at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, just that little place.
And I fly. And then I do the Nokia Center Saturday and Sunday. So, really looking forward to it.
Yes, that is why Ricky's on the phone with us. He is playing Saturday and Sunday night this weekend at the Nokia Theater LA Live. You can get some tickets, believe it or not, still at Ticketmaster. Kevin, I believe you've been to see the stand-up before, and you're going back again this weekend, right?
Yeah, going this weekend, went last time. My wife, I think, would leave me in a heartbeat for Ricky and is trying to make that happen. Not that he knows it, but that is the plan. You know what I like about you, Ricky, is really there's nobody here in the States that still drinks heavily while on stage.
What are you saying?
I'm saying you drink heavily on stage.
And he thinks it's good.
You can't drink beer heavily, can you? Because you get too full before you get drunk. I mean, if I was out there with a bottle of Jack Daniels, then I'd have a problem. But I'm just sipping the odd beer. It's good for you.
Just a sip in between jokes when you have a little break.
Exactly.
Please tell me that you will never... ever, and this is like one of those things where a rock band has a hit and then they turn their back on it. Please tell me that you will never, ever stop talking about that safe sex pamphlet, which seems to have inspired you greatly.
You know what? I feel guilty about that because it's like I didn't have to add much to it. The comedy was already there. It was laid out for me. I remember when that leaflet came round and I just couldn't believe my luck. I carried it round with me for about 3 months.
Explain to people in radio terminology that we're allowed to say.
I will.
What it is.
Well, it was a Terence Higgins Trust flyer about safe sex, right? Aimed at the last small demographic of gay men who were ignoring safe sex during the big AIDS epidemic of the early 80s. And it was alternatives to a certain form of sexual activity.
Right.
And the suggestions were just remarkable.
It was just remarkable. It's one of those things where you read them and you go, there's no possible way that A, this got written, mm-hmm. B, anyone okayed it, and C, anyone put it out.
I know. But the alternatives, I mean, the thing is about the alternatives, they weren't, I didn't even consider them sex. They might as well have said, have a cup of tea.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. You can fill in the blanks and see it for yourself with Ricky Gervais live on stage at the Nokia Theater this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 8. Again, tickets available through Ticketmaster. You know, I tweeted a little while ago, Ricky, that we were going to be having you on the show and how excited we were, and we've always wanted to have the opportunity to talk to you. And I thought, let's see what Ricky Gervais' fans have for questions for the man. And I was really surprised how many people came back with questions about you and the American version of The Office, which has to have happen to you all the time, but that's something that you're not really involved in at all. You pretty much just set that ship off a sailing years ago, but that's not part of your day anymore, is it?
No, the only part of my day is that I wait for the check to come through the door.
Just a giant check, because you made it. How many people?
A giant check to come through the door for all Steve Carell's hard work.
Well done.
How many people still find out on a daily basis, you know, especially in America, that you're the one that came up with The Office, and then this, you know, our version was based on yours?
I don't know, but, you know, I don't think it matters because I know I did it, and I don't really have to run around taking credit. And the other thing about it is, you know, whenever I watch The Office, I'm just very proud of it. I'm very proud that, you know, those characters were mine. And joking aside, you know, I am involved. I'm an executive producer, and, you know, it's my format. So I do get financially rewarded.
Sure.
But I'm just very proud that they did such a great job, because there was a lot of cynicism. Because the sort of the original Office was small in America, but where it made a dent was in the industry,
right?
And it was a favorite of a lot of A-listers and, you know, producers and directors, it was a press darling. I mean, it was everyone's sort of like favorite little imported show, and so they had a mountain to climb, and they did it. They got out of the shadow within the first season, I think. The first few episodes were sort of carbon copies of the English version.
Right.
And then when they moved away from that, it stood on its feet for the last few years. I mean, it's done 120 episodes. And
wow.
Even though the characters are based on mine, you know, they've really made them their own. I know for a fact that Steve Carell, when he got the job, he didn't watch the English version anymore because he didn't want to pick up, you know, traits and symptoms. And he's made it. And it is very different. And the difference, I think, is sort of based on the difference between Americans and Brits, really. You know, they do have a sort of a better work ethic. They have got better teeth. And they are optimistic. People say, what's the difference between American and English comedy? And I think we're all the same, really. Except that, I suppose, in America, celebrate success more and trying hard. In England, we're a little bit cynical. We don't want to be seen to try too hard. We don't want to be seen to get above our station. And that's how we're brought up. Americans are taught they can be the next president of the United States.
Even though
British people are told it won't happen to them.
Right. Hey, in our country, you can be the next president of the United States even if you're born in Kenya. That's how optimistic this country is, Ricky. All right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger as well.
Yeah, there you go. I know you are very busy this morning and you have to go. There's a one question I've always wanted to ask you, though, and I want to use our remaining moments to ask this. You've done so little serious acting work, and I think you're a very, very good actor. Of course, I remember your turn on the Alias TV show. Is this something that you would like to do more of, or have you decided I dipped my toe in those waters and I'm not comfortable, I don't want to go back there?
Well, I mean, I sort of sneak in drama. I mean, with the English version of The Office, and extras, and, you know, The Invention of Lion, and the new film we've done, Sandwich Junction, is an all-out sort of drama with funny bits. We've always snuck in dramatic elements because our comedy comes from sort of realism. And so if you do sort of three-dimensional characters like David Brent or Andy Millman, you can move to drama, and that's always excited us. You know, the romance in The Office, by the end of it, was more interesting to us than, you know, a bit of comedy, sort of knockabout comedy. So I would like to, but you've got to be careful because it's the vanity of the comedian that usually destroys him. That when you start taking yourself seriously, you stop being funny. And, you know, I suppose I know where I am with comedy, but I would like to do a dramatic role. You've just got to be very careful, particularly when you're the auteur. If I were to write myself a part where I'm running around with a gun with my shirt off,
right,
then it's mildly embarrassing. If I was to pop up, you know, and get shot by a villain in a Scorsese movie, yeah, I'd love to do it. Of course I would. But I think you've got to be careful. You know, I do this because I really enjoy it. And my first love is the creative process. There's nothing better to me than sitting in a room with Steve Merchant and coming up with our own ideas. You know, I do loads of fun things, popping up on The Simpsons, great fun, doing Sesame Street, so much fun, popping up in things like Night at the Museum and things like that, really great fun. but I don't count them in my body as work, work as such. If someone said, you know, what's in your oeuvre, what have you done? I'd say The Office, extras, a couple of movies, and some stand-up.
You would even mention the movie names?
Sorry?
Would you mention the movie names?
Well, yeah, I did, you know, Invention of Lion and Cemetery Junction. Yeah. But even Ghost Town, that was my first lead.
Right.
It wasn't really my baby. That's, you know, that's David Koepp's baby. I was an actor for hire, really. And so what excites me is what I've created, I suppose. That's my real baby.
And that's what I like about you.
One of those.
That's what I like about you is that you don't take yourself seriously, so that when the curtain opens and it says Ricky in 50 tall foot letters with a lot of lights on it and you come out in a crown.
Some people don't get the irony. You know, there's some British press that go, oh, who does he think he is? I mean, really? They really think I'm Elvis.
Right. Because it is so over the top.
How many more clues I have to give them.
It is so over the top. It's hard to imagine that people can't see that, but I guess there are always people out there that can't.
All right, listen, we have to leave it there, Ricky. I hope that our audience has heard this and will fill up whatever remaining seats are left through Ticketmaster.com to see you live and in person.
I'll just say that they've just released 150 tickets each night that are production tickets that they hold back. They're going on sale now. So there's 150 tickets each night.
Sunday night, 8 o'clock at Nokia Theater in LA Live.
Thank you, Ricky. Brilliant. We enjoyed talking to you.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, that was Ricky Gervais on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
That's who that was. I don't know how we did, but I enjoyed it. I'll tell you that.
I've seen him in concert, and he is one funny mofo.
Yeah, he's great.
He really is good.
Omar hates the Glee. He is not a Gleek. His Glee cap of last night's episode coming up for you next hour. I got to ask this, because Psycho Mike apparently was the only other person who saw the game besides me last night. What the F is going on with LeBron James? You would think that even if he planned on being traded, even if he didn't want to stay in Cleveland, he would at least, try to get to the finals this year rather than giving up as he did last night.
It was unexplainable. I cannot describe what happened. Every player of every sport, no matter how good they are, has bad games.
Of course.
But it appeared as if LeBron James was intimidated to walk out on the basketball court yesterday.
Absolutely.
Like, he just cowered and
that's
and
the opposite
shrunk.
Of that's the opposite of his aura. His aura is, I'm going to walk out on the court and I'm going to be in a league all by myself.
Right.
And everybody else is going to look like high schoolers. And so he was having an off game, but people who have off games, if you're a superstar, if you're Magic Johnson, or if you're Michael Jordan, or if you're, you know, any superstar, if you're out there and you're having a bad game, you do everything else.
Right.
That's exactly right. And you do everything. If you realize you're not hitting it, you're involved in a lot of assists. You're at least hustling and getting the ball to your teammates if you're not working it. I'll tell you what it was. This is the best way I can describe it. We're talking about LeBron James playing for Cleveland last night, lost to the Boston Celtics. They lost by 32, ladies and gentlemen. I think it may be the worst blowout they've ever had in playoff history. One of the worst blowouts in any playoff history, right, in basketball.
Right.
But you know what it was like? He had 15 points. I think he was 3 for 14 from the field. His enthusiasm for the game, Kevin, and this will sum it up for you since you didn't see it, was the same level of enthusiasm as the girl in the R. Kelly sex tape.
Wow.
He was playing basketball like she was having sex, which is just physically, I'm here, do whatever you want. I'm not going to lift a finger to even try to make this enjoyable for anybody.
Mine is someplace else. Mike, do you know it? Has he ever been like that before, where he's having an off game and he seems to just check out?
Look, I don't get it to watch all of LeBron's games. I don't get to watch him too much. But from what you see of him, especially in the postseason, he is a fierce competitor. And you never see that kind of it appears as if he really kind of like threw the white flag
if he's
about
not,
3 minutes into the game.
If he's not making shots, he'll start driving to the hoop and slamming on people.
Well, that's a very odd thing, is he only got to the free throw line once, maybe twice in the second half. But I know it wasn't more than twice. And so it was clear that he wasn't even making any attempt to try to drive the lane and get to the basket. And I don't know if his elbow, you know, the much talked about elbow injury is bothering him more than he's leading on. But it was a very odd thing to see. How many times in the 90s do you remember when Jordan was having an off night where he'd still throw up 40 shots.
Right.
Much, sometimes to his team's detriment. But it was
right.
that was him
At least
being,
he was trying.
That was him being Jordan. He just couldn't give up. The bravado was still there.
But even with the elbow, you could play defense. It might hurt a little, but you could play.
It was a complete retreat from you know from
it's
the battlefield.
Weird. It's weird, and he was absolutely trying to avoid contact with any other player. And all I know is this. Nobody wants the Celtics in the finals.
That's correct.
That's the only thing that I know, is nobody wants to see Boston in the finals. Let's see LeBron. Give the man his shot. He's earned it to get to this point.
He had a shot. He didn't want it.
Let's not give – I guess I'm talking to him now. Let's not give up. Go ahead and do some follow-through, whether you're with Cleveland or not next year. At least try when you go back to Boston. At least try to win the game. Would you do that for us as a fan?
Even if you're not going to try, make it appear like you're trying.
As odd as last night's game was, and as much as it looked like he just gave up, let's not count him out just yet. I mean,
I agree.
He is a freakish athlete and an amazing talent, and who knows what's going to happen with the series.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens next. All right, a quick break. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. You're really just biding your time till Top Gun Gay tomorrow, I know. And yes, I said Top Gun Gay.
How dare you, sir?
It is the gayest holiday on the calendar, but we'll be talking about that tomorrow. What do you got going on today?
Oh, the MTV Movie Award nominations have just released today.
Oh, okay. Very exciting.
Yes. Also known as the Total Effing BS Awards, I like to call them. Here are your lineups for awards that don't mean anything to people who won't show up unless they won. So, you got that going for you. Alice in Wonderland, Avatar, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Hangover, and Twilight, New Moon for Best Movie.
Wow. Kevin is finally happy that somebody has nominated The Hangover as Best Movie.
3 years after it came out.
Honestly, though, shouldn't it have been? Honestly.
Are you asking, should it have been a Best Picture Oscar nominee?
Should
no, I don't
won.
Think so.
Should
I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
I don't know about that.
Out of 10? Out of 10 movies. You guys are
I don't think it should have won. I don't think it should have been nominated.
Favorite
I thought it
movie
was
of all time.
Very entertaining film, but I don't think necessarily top 10.
Favorite movie of all time.
I know. Okay. Best Female Performance, Amanda Seyfried.
No.
In Dear John.
Love her so much.
In Dear John, Best Female Performance.
Didn't see
really?
Dear John.
Of course
that.
You didn't.
Emma Watson for Harry Potter. Kristen Stewart, rather, for Twilight Saga New Moon. Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side. And Zoe Saldana for Avatar.
Wow. A lot of hotness on that list.
Yeah, but not a lot of goodness.
No,
that's what
I
look for in awards.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah, that's what I look
for. You care about goodness?
Best fight in a movie?
Okay.
Beyonce versus Ali Larder in Obsessed.
That was pretty awesome. I got to give it that.
Hugh Jackman and Liev Schreiber versus Ryan Reynolds in X-Men Origins.
How long ago was that movie out?
Is this the last decade?
Logan Lerman versus Jake Abel in Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
I missed that one.
Robert Downey Jr. versus Mark Strong in Sherlock Holmes.
That's pretty good.
And Sam Worthington versus Stephen Lang in Avatar. You can check out all the nominations that you like for yourself at MTV.com.
And it's our buddy Aziz Ansari as the host this year.
Oh.
Well, maybe a reason to watch.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, EMI is in big trouble. For those of you who aren't familiar with EMI, it is the parent corporation in the UK, which was really the 600-pound gorilla when it came to recording artists
right
back in the day. I mean, this was the label that had the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Radiohead. I mean, just a massive conglomerate of musicians and artists. Now it's going under. They're struggling.
Now the artists realize they don't need a record company.
They're going to need to offload. They were looking to offload Abbey Road Studios, Legendary Studios, where the Beatles recorded a lot of their stuff. And musicians are streaming out the door. Paul McCartney left, Rolling Stones left, Radiohead. And now Queen, apparently, is the latest major artist to leave EMI. They decided that they are going out on their own. And EMI said yesterday, had we known Queen was still alive, we would have put up a bigger fight to keep them. So now they're losing even more lucrative rights to songs. So that's kind of sad. Does Donald Trump hate babies? If he does, he's the greatest hater of babies ever in the history of people who hated babies.
Sure.
Did you see any of the Celebrity Apprentice on Sunday?
No. I've been watching this season.
He had the celebrities come up to his apartment to give them their task, and he literally said it was the greatest apartment in all of New York City. I mean, we kid about him, but those words came out of his mouth.
Wow.
He owns a restaurant
called Castle inside the Trump Soho Hotel. And a supermodel, Karolina Kurkova, came in to dine there.
Yes.
And brought her six-month-old baby with her to eat, along with the baby daddy, Archie Drury. They came to the restaurant and were told at the door, no babies allowed. Turn around and take your baby elsewhere.
Wow.
That's
a bold
That's
stance.
Rough.
Say that to a supermodel?
Yeah, don't
make a supermodel unhappy.
And I don't know of any other restaurant I've ever heard that banished babies.
Uh-uh.
Not that it's a horrible idea. I mean, a lot of people don't hear crying babies while they're eating. I guess there's something to be said for it.
Sure.
Especially at a high-end, expensive restaurant, sure.
Yeah, but...
But you'd think they'd put maybe a sign out or something. Something so that they don't have to say the
words.
Right,
so you don't have that confrontation at the maitre d's desk.
How old is she?
Yes. It'd be so 18? Much more comfortable for all of us if your baby wasn't here.
Can you tie her to a post out in front and just eat?
And big battle.
Put out a bowl
on.
Of water for her.
Big battle going on between Avril Lavigne and Lindsay Lohan.
Uh-oh. It's on.
New York Post says they were going at it the other night at the Chateau Marmont here in Los Angeles. Screaming match. Avril screamed at Lindsay when she had the nerve to approach her table the other night.
Oh, no.
Claims the newspaper. Apparently, it all started when Lindsay snubbed Avril while they were out on the town previously, and now Avril is back for revenge and tried to get Lindsay thrown out of the club Saturday night.
Oh, it's like East Coast, West Coast.
And then Lindsay went to the management, unbeknownst to her, and tried to get Avril Lavigne thrown out of the club.
Awesome.
But apparently, neither of them were thrown out of the club, and it was a tense evening for all.
What a couple of divas. Fake divas.
Yeah, really?
Not even real.
Apparently the argument started over who had less of a career now between Avril and Lindsay, and it was fought to a stalemate. Avril Lavigne and Lindsay Lohan. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Gabriel Byrne is 60 years old. Today, Ving Rhames celebrates his 51st birthday. Emilio Estevez, who, of course, is the brother of Charlie Sheen and son of the other Sheen guy.
Martin
Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he doesn't want to be a Sheen. He wants to be an Estevez.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, it turns out that Martin Sheen is actually Estevez.
He is?
Right.
No, I didn't. Right.
He adopted Sheen as a stage name.
Huh.
Isn't that something?
Who knew?
I did. Vanessa Williams is 47 years old today. Stephen Baldwin is 44 years old today. Whose actual name is Sheen, believe it or not. He took Baldwin as a stage name.
Is that right?
Interesting. True. Tony Hawk is 42 years old today. Kim Fields, her real name is Kim Hawk, believe it or not.
I don't think that's 41.
She's 2D on Facts of Life. Malin Ackerman is 32 years old today. So is our buddy Jason Biggs from American Pie. And Malcolm David Kelly celebrates his 18th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 12 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Look, hear my whole thing. You're by yourself, Omar. You're coming in here. We're gleeks. You're not. There's nothing you're going to be able to say to change our mind. We like the show, okay?
Have you seen the show?
Here's the thing, though.
Yes, we've seen the show.
It's terrible. We love it.
Terrible.
We think that you haven't seen it, really. You just gotten an impression here and there.
Right. Uh-huh.
So you're going to bring in some highlights.
I did. You bastards made me watch it last
night. Okay.
We're
going
to make you do a weekly Glee Cap where you will come in, and the more you're exposed to it, the more you will grow to love it, as we
bastards.
Have.
There's lots of likable characters. There's hot chicks on it. There's some good singing on it. I mean, it's a very talented group of kids that put that show together every week. What don't you like about
it? Big Nose? Big Nose,
Big Nose is way
Big
hot. Leah Michelle? Yeah.
She's not hot. What about the black fat chick, Little Precious?
Maybe not Little Precious.
She's an attractive girl.
Yeah, please,
a larger attractive
dude,
girl. What about the rest of the Cheerios? They're all hot.
Yeah, there's one that's okay.
What? How about Santana, the little hot Hispanic cheerleader? What
She's
about her?
All right.
What about the pregnant one? The blonde one's hot.
Quinn.
Hot.
What about Quinn?
Yeah.
All right. What's your problem? You watched the show last night. Tell us what we missed.
Okay. Here's what
Omar's Glee Cap.
Here's how it starts.
Bogus music. Bogus music.
That's bogus. Okay, it's very dramatic, right?
Yes.
Right. You know why it's all dramatic? Because one of the characters shaved off his mohawk. Oh, my God, no?
Puck shaved off his mohawk?
Puck shaved
off his mohawk. Oh, my God.
Listen to Lisa.
Really?
He lost his mojo because he shaved his mohawk.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's
Jesus
outrageous.
Christ.
It was a crisis. He wasn't cool anymore.
What crappy music is that,
that's
by the way?
That's acapella.
They do that all the time.
Shut up. Leads you up to the dramatic moment.
Look, right? But a kid shaving his mohawk off, really?
In high school, that's a big deal.
In high school, it's a major character who's a badass, tough guy.
He has one strip of hair.
Not anymore.
Stop it. Stop it.
I can see. If you like that, if you don't like that, I can see how you would hate the show because there's a lot of that.
It's almost Jaws-esque.
I thought somebody was going to die. If somebody died, I would have been like, okay, good.
Dude,
his reputation died. His reputation died.
Okay, and this is what his girlfriend thinks of it.
Still Puckasaurus.
Actually, I don't know if it's the missing mohawk or the whining, but I am totally not turned on by you right now.
Again with that, and he calls himself Puckasaurus.
He's the Puckasaurus.
Oh, please.
I think I'm coming around Omar's
and as Ralph said, he lost his mojo, so he's getting put in the dumpster by the geeks and stuff or whatever.
Oh,
payback
no.
time.
Right, so he comes up with this brilliant plan.
Get ready, black girl from Glee Club, whose name I can't remember right now. The Puckster is about to make you his.
So his plan is to get with Little Precious and become all popular
because
and regain his mojo.
Now. She's popular now because she's on the Cheerios and she sings and everyone likes her.
God.
So he's going to get some of her residual popularity.
Yeah, so he tries to, you know, he like tries to turn on the charm and it's not working, but I'll get back to that. So White Afro Man guy, the teacher... is all
Will
telling,
Schuster.
Okay, sorry. This guy is all telling the Glee kids, oh, we've lost our voice. We suck now. You need to find your voice.
Yes.
So Big Nose decides to do this song.
I have chosen Miley Cyrus's The Climb because it's about overcoming obstacles and beating the odds.
Okay.
Yes, Rachel.
Miley Cyrus. You guys are watching Miley Cyrus on TV, and you're saying this is good?
It's not Miley Cyrus as much as it is somebody else singing Miley Cyrus songs.
It's still a Miley Cyrus song,
it
right?
It is, yeah.
Okay. It's very motivational.
But
Omar, it makes sense that a high school girl would relate to a Miley Cyrus song. Forget the fact that she's 35 years old or where she is. Her character is inspired by the journey
listen,
that Miley
Gaby,
Cyrus takes
listen,
in the song.
Listen, Gaby, I'm not defending that. It doesn't make sense in the show. It's bad. That's what I'm saying. It's bad. Sure, it makes sense in that stupid, ridiculous world, but my
wow.
argument's that you guys
you
are
hate?
Watching this stuff.
Why do you hate?
I'm just saying. Okay, but at least she sings it like this.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head.
John,
wow.
Okay.
Well, she's got tonsillitis.
She's got tonsillitis.
She's
right?
losing her voice.
Okay. So this guy, Finn. Is
right.
all up wants to get up on her, up he wants to get all up in her panties, right? So
I think
she's
he cares
got,
about her deeply.
I think we need Omar to do Lost too, by the way.
So,
Lost recaps.
So they're at the doctor. She's got tonsillitis, and she has a boyfriend named Jesse, right?
Yeah, I know where this is going.
I wonder where this is. Jesse's what girl. He's trying to get with Jesse's girl. What
I started
what song
to cheer.
Happens?
Like Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl.
Who could have predicted that?
Oh, I started
okay.
to cheer
and
in
here,
my living
here's
room
my
when
whole,
it was coming.
Another problem with this stupid show is that they sing for 3 minutes. They do the entire Jesse Girl song, entire other BS songs.
Right.
There's only like one page of writing during the whole show. Everything else is singing and dancing and gay.
They have upped the music quotient quite a bit this year
they
compared
did,
to last.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so fair. At this point, bald guy who used to have a mohawk is still...
Hawk.
Okay, sorry. He's still trying to get with Little Precious, and it's not
Mercedes
working for him.
Mercedes is her name.
Okay.
Mercedes.
And, until he rocks this little jam.
She's a swinger, a humdinger.
Okay,
yeah,
a Sammy
Tramp.
Davis Jr. song from the 1600s that nobody's heard of?
Wow.
Really?
It's a classic,
really?
Omar.
The kids are loving this show because of Sammy Davis Jr. is rocking back in town.
I gotta tell you, having not seen last night's episode, this sounds horrible.
Right?
Yeah, and I like the show.
But that wins over the girl, by the way. She's all up in his grill now.
Sure, yeah.
Because he's a Jew and she's black, he wanted to sing a song by a black Jew. So he picks something by Sammy Davis Jr.
Right.
See?
So then.
You miss the subtleties. Omar.
Listen, the subtleties is that the show is bad. Okay? There's no subtle. I can't even. I'm so angry, I can't even talk. Okay? So there's this beeline story going on about the gay kid in the show.
Yeah,
and
yeah
his,
Kurt.
Okay, yeah. Gay. And he's right. having problems with his dad because his dad's hanging out with the tough Finn guy, okay?
Right.
And he's all depressed. Oh, my dad's hanging out with Finn, and I need to butch it up. So he butches it up, and he sings this tune.
There's a black man with a black hair.
The gay guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Rocks a little John Cougar Mellencamp right there.
Okay. Oh, that's definitely John Cougar Mellencamp, man.
Kevin, he comes in with the construction boots and the flannel shirt and the trucker hat and everything to try to be all macho because he misses the bond with his father because his father doesn't like the fact that he's gay.
No. Look, that hip Mellencamp, dude.
I love this show, but I'm telling you, after Omar's Glee cap, I would not watch this. Yeah. It sounds terrible.
Okay, so
he's lying about
So now, Little Precious and the Hispanic chick,
Mercedes and Santana.
They're singing some Brandy song or whatever because they're fighting over shaved off Mohawk guy. So check this out.
He belongs to me. The boy is mine.
Terrible song.
First of all, great song. They did a great job with it, and it almost turned into a cheerleader girl fight. How can you not be down with that? Oh,
okay. This is what happens after the fight. Check this out.
Okay, seriously, this ends now.
Right. Talk to the stick figure,
please. All right. You can go at it in song, but that is it.
You can go at it in song? Really? Somebody wrote that? Come on.
Look, it's like a dance-off. It's like you know, Stomp the Yard or whatever. They have a sing-off.
You can go at it in song.
That's lame. Okay, I lost my place. Hold on.
That's okay. We're so out of time anyway.
It's too much hate.
The point is, you're right. It sucks. We still love it. That's
okay,
the point.
Wait. We got to play at least the last clip. Right. At least the very last clip, okay? Because this is the high point of the show, I thought.
All right.
It was the only thing I really liked.
Okay.
And let's hear a little something of that.
All right, here you go.
Final clip.
You gotta stop watching this gay show.
This
sucks so bad.
Song.
Really?
Yeah. Who was that?
It was like Finn and Little Precious or something.
It is Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us for one more look at the show Biz Beat. Are there still celebrities out there and do we still care, Ralph?
Hello.
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 Hello. Can I get your microphone on?
Every time today for Showbiz Beat, my microphone has not been on. Hello.
What's going on with that?
What's the matter, Kevin? Why don't you like my microphone?
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Uh-huh. And you know how some people can perform when they don't get a lot of sleep?
Right.
I'm not one of those people.
Well, you know, when you're sick, it's the best idea is to get as little sleep as possible so I can see your plan. I can see your master plan.
I don't understand the breakdown. Because Ralph comes in, sits down in front of you. It's in my head that triggers, why is Ralph here? He's here to talk into that piece of metal. What
and
does that have to do with me?
It's the same one I talk to every day of the show that we've been doing for 10 years or so now. I'm just saying that.
Are you guys still talking?
Yes. I know you love.
I'd like to suggest that I have it on 95% of the time that I get no credit for.
You want credit for doing your job,
but then
adequately.
The 5% of the time that I forget, you guys harass me. That's
okay.
All.
But Kevin, aren't you now a who lost 5-0? But
what?
Stop 26 shots.
What?
Isn't that what you are right now?
He's been turning your microphone on and off. Being we missed.
Oh,
that
I see. Okay.
That's how I work. I don't argue fairly. Okay, back to you.
Like the air traffic controller saying, hey, look at all the planes I land. I let two crash over LAX, and all of a sudden I'm the bad guy now.
What about my good ones?
Kind of your job is to turn on the microphone.
All right. Time for the show.
By the way, I never got an email back from you about my wax museum story that I sent you.
I don't remember that story.
How impressive was that?
I don't remember that story.
I sent you a photo of Helen Mirren and her new wax figure from Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
I don't remember seeing that.
It was very impressive.
Was she hot?
So much stuff he hates.
I'll send it back to you.
Yeah, thanks.
I'll send you another
That's
copy
what I need
of that.
Is a wax figure
Helen
of an
Mirren,
old woman
who's
who used to be hot.
Helen Mirren, who's hot, has a hot wax figure that looks exactly like her. It's the best wax likeness I've ever seen made.
No.
We're going to put it up on the website and let people take a look.
Okay.
We can use this new technology, this KevinandBean.com we've got going for us here. All right, before I get to the showbiz news, I want to give away some tickets to the advanced screening of MacGruber. It happens on Thursday, May the 20th, opens nationwide May the 21st. First five callers through at 1-800-520-1067. Get a chance to go see MacGruber.
You have to sing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Very funny movie from the folks who brought us the sketch on Saturday Night Live. It's a little tiny, tiny little quick sketch.
It is.
They've taken it and made it a big, 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 big movie.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's as good as Night at the Roxbury.
Looks funny.
How dare you, sir. Tyra Banks is now adding author to her hyphenates.
Yes.
Supermodel, actress, talk show host, producer. She has written a book
she says, for everyone that craves some fantasy in their lives. The book is called Model Land.
Oh, creative.
Oh, sure is.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Model Land is a faraway, distant land where models live.
Does one of them host a TV talk show?
And if you're very good, you get to grab one of them and hold their head underwater until the bubbles stop.
Oh, man. I don't think that's her story.
Oh, sorry. That's just my fantasy about Model Land. Yeah, I don't know if you caught a recent episode, the Prank Day episode of Tyra's show. Prank Day?
No.
Where she came out and started her monologue talking about how she was bitten by a dog that turned out later to have rabies.
Yeah.
And she was concerned about the effect it might have on her.
Yeah.
And it turns out, I didn't know this. Look, I'm no doctor. But apparently when you have rabies, you get on all fours and start barking and foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog yourself.
Nope.
Here's Tyra with more.
Kind of foamy, and then they tested me, and the dog has rabies, and I had to get a shot. So I'm feeling a little weird, but I'm okay. I'm just thirsty. So can we pause for a second? Can I have some water? Sorry.
Put foam on.
People. As not funny as that sounds, it's so much not funny.
You know nobody likes you, right?
It's really something else.
You should see the look of the faces of the people in the audience going, I thank God we didn't pay to get into this show. What is this crazy woman doing?
Some of them are laughing, though, right? Just
her,
out of pity?
Yeah, out of pity.
Like, what is
at
she
the least. Least.
What is, she's making an ass of herself, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Not a fan.
She's got to be stopped.
I agree.
And by stopped, of course, I mean dropped off a building. Dancing with the Stars update. Niecy Nash was booted off the show last night. Sorry.
Oh, he was good.
It's a her.
She was good.
She was good. And
that's why she was kicked off.
I don't know who's going to be kicked off American Idol tonight, but I know last night was movie night, where they sang songs from movies with Jamie Foxx as their mentor.
I'll bet that was good.
I missed it, but apparently it's good.
Bad.
Hasn't the consensus been that 10 weeks ago, Crystal Bowersox wrapped it up as the only talented one left?
Yeah, when I was watching, it seemed that way to me. But apparently, yeah. There's a guy named Lee DeWise, apparently, who has come on strong as of late, according to the newspapers, and he's got a shot, too.
Not interested!
You know what the problem is with this Betty White hosting SNL thing?
What?
Is now people think Facebook is the way to get their favorite performer to host Saturday Night Live.
Well, it did work.
People are apparently complaining that pages are popping up all over Facebook for other aging stars to get them to host Saturday Night Live, and it probably just isn't going to happen.
Right.
The latest one, apparently, is the new Get Carol Burnett to Host the Saturday Night Live Show page.
No.
Has more 32,000 people have signed up. No word on whether Saturday Night Live will pay any attention or not.
Stop it.
Especially since the season finale hosted by Alec Baldwin is set for this Saturday. So they're going to have at least couple months, I think, about it.
Yeah.
And people are really looking forward to this eclipse.
Really? There's some interest?
The new Twilight movie. Fandango and movie tickets, places where you can buy tickets online, are putting the tickets on sale tomorrow.
Wow.
When's the movie come out?
6 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. I better buy mine now.
6 weeks in advance because they believe the market is there, that they can sell those tickets. And which, if they fill up, you're going to have a hard time getting to see the movie in the first couple of weeks if this all goes according
to
plan.
Now, can I only watch it with, like, a box with a pinhole in it?
You can't.
Okay, you can't use the F word, but the movie is Eclipse, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take it back.
Don't even put it in the file. I'm taking it back now.
I'm taking it back.
You deserve to have it put in the file and played back. So you can see what you've done to the rest of us.
Wow. you need to pay for your mistakes.
I'm mailing everyone in the room and everyone in the audience $1 right now.
You should.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Malin Ackerman is 32 years old today. Jason Biggs celebrates his 32nd as well. Malcolm David Kelly from Lost is 18 years old. Kim Fields, who was Tootie on Facts of Life, is 41. Tony Hawk is 42 years old. Even just with sounds, he should take things back. Now, he's putting things in the file just by audio clips. Stephen Baldwin's 44. Vanessa Williams is 47. Emilio Estevez is 48 years old. Ving Rhames turns 51. And Gabriel Byrne is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Go Flyers.
Thank you, Ralph.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We're going to tell you about the Brazilian priest who thinks that teenagers break out in spontaneous gayness.
You know how they do.
Wow. It's just, that's how it happens. We have Dr. Drew because it's Thursday. We're going to talk to Mike Henry from the Cleveland Show. We have David Spade on tomorrow morning show.
Wow.
And we're going to celebrate Top Gun Day.
Woo!
All right.
Woo! Be my wingman anytime.
Top Gun Day.
Woo!
So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and
Bean
Show.
Take me bed now. Lose me forever.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next.